to listen to any more of this.
Point of parliamentary procedure.
Don't screw around. They're serious this time.
Take it easy. I'm in pre-law, man.
Thought you're pre-med.
What's the difference?
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
Happy New Year! Woo! Hi-key.
And this is 2020.
Here's Pete McMurray on 720 WGN.
312-981-7200 is our phone number, also our text line. We love hearing your comments and your text messages. Pete McMurray in for two more days, then Bob Surratt starts on Monday. It's great to have the starters back. Dave Bennett asked me right before we went on the air, did you miss me yesterday? Of course, Dave, I always miss you. This is nice.
You didn't.
I absolutely did.
Definite feeling. You did not miss me.
It's great to see the starters back. Rozanich is here.
Good morning.
Yes. How are you?
Nice to be back. Great.
How was your break?
It was wonderful. I got a chance to visit with all of my family and do a little driving around the state. It was really nice. But I'm happy to be back. Good to be back to work.
I feel like if I take more than 3 days, it's too much, especially in media, because you never know what's going to happen. You worry about your job. But I think you get sick of things. That's me. Did you have enough time off? Did you feel that way?
Yeah, I had enough time off and then plenty of time to recover from all that driving I had a few days off after coming back from visiting family, so that was nice. That's the way I normally try to buffer my vacation, especially if I'm visiting family with a little downtime here.
Where do you drive to?
Let's see, I was in Southern Illinois, so I drove all over Southern Illinois. And, you know, that's about a good 6 hour drive from here, 5.5-6 hour drive. So it's a lot of driving.
I'm with you. I drove to Naperville. It seemed like 6 hours on Christmas Day. Wow. 52 minutes, no traffic. Naperville.
Yeah, that's rough. The beauty, though, on Christmas Day, it was 71 degrees where I was at. Some of us had dinner outside on the deck.
Boy, that's nice.
Yeah, it was nice.
I do remember that. It was a beautiful day on Christmas. It was. Mary, how are you? Happy
I'm
New Year.
Great. Happy New Year. Yeah, we had a foot and a half of snow in northern Wisconsin.
Oh.
I mean, that's how much was there when we got there.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I did a winter sports. I did cross-country skiing, a little sledding. It was awesome.
Never understood the cross-country skiing.
It's
like it's like running slowly with skis on.
It's exhausting.
Yeah.
It is really hard work, but it's fun.
So you enjoy it? It doesn't seem fun to me. I tried it once. I'm like, I'm good.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people don't like it because it's kind of boring, but, you know, I only fell twice.
And how do you fall in cross-country skiing?
Okay, we were skiing around a lake that was frozen in a path, and we hit a bunch of ice things sticking out, you know, some juts are in the ice. And, of course, my niece was with me, and she's a little crazy, so she kind of ran over my skis, and it doesn't take much for me to fall. But, you know, you don't fall far. You just kind of fall over.
Do you ever get nervous walking on the lake?
Oh, yeah, because there were parts of it you couldn't walk on because it wasn't. They had got so much snow that the lake never had time to freeze right away until later. So there are parts of it you cannot walk on. But, you know, the dogs were down there and they're all over and the babies. We had a really good time.
As you know, I married a girl from Wausau, Wisconsin. So we go up to
Through Wausau.
Lake Minocqua. And walking on Lake Minocqua, when it starts to get slushy, it's like, all right, we got to turn around.
Yeah.
Makes me a little nervous.
A lot of people get really nervous. But, you know, when I see a snowmobile out there, I'm like, okay, if a snowmobile can go out there, I think I'm okay.
Well, they drive their trucks on the lake, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
People make paths on the lake, and, you know, there's running races on certain lakes. They can do 5Ks.
Mm-hmm.
It's a blast.
And years ago, when I first heard about the shanties and how the guys sit in the shanties and they fish, I figured it out once we put it together. They have a heater in there. You don't really fish. You have it on that little, you know, that...
tip up.
Yes, the tip up. And they move a couch in there, and put a TV in there.
That's how they get away from their kids in their house. Yeah. You know,
not so much fishing as it is drinking and sitting on
that's
a couch.
That's all it is.
Well, they have a cooler next to it.
Nobody's fishing.
Well, a lot of people put the tip ups up.
Yes.
And then they check on them later. Like my brother-in-law is a huge ice fisherman. So he goes in the house and then he runs out, checks his tip ups.
Yeah.
Oh, I got a bass. Okay.
But is that really fishing, though?
He throws them back in. I'm like, well, where is the bass?
It's automatic fishing because you hear the tip up, and then boom. It's like, okay, I got a fish.
I don't know. It feels like a weird thing.
It feels like the rule should be you should be holding the pole at all times. That should be part of the rule.
Not the,
what are
cold.
The actual rules for fishing? But when you're in the shanty, you have a heater.
Well, yeah, but it's really boring in there. It's a small little shanty, and, you know, unless you have a TV or something.
I had a TV. My brother-in-law, Mitch, always does it up. They brought a couch and put it on the lake, and they put a TV in there. Somebody had direct TV, so they could, you know, they could watch TV out there.
Yeah.
And they leave it overnight. No one's going to steal your TV.
But, you know, since it was the holidays, he had to do some entertaining. So we said, you can't be out there the whole time. You have to be in here.
You got
to
hang out. Love that. Well, welcome back.
Thanks.
And Dave Bennett.
Good to be here.
Dave, it's always great to see you. You have a good New Year's Day?
I did. Watched a lot of football.
Right.
Went to a New Year's Day party for a while, but had to get back in time to see the Rose Bowl.
That Rose Bowl. Wow. 28-27.
You know, more often than not, it's a great game. And, you know, Wisconsin still, I mean, they had times where they couldn't get out of their own way, but they still probably should have won the game. But,
right.
Yeah, give some credit to Oregon. They took advantage of the breaks that Wisconsin gave them.
It all comes down to mistakes, doesn't it?
It does.
At the end of the game.
It does. You know, and a critical offensive pass interference penalty that you could debate probably for the next 2 weeks.
Right.
You know, but those things are going to happen. But it was an entertaining game. That's what you want, right?
Right. Absolutely.
It was the best game of the day.
Do you do play-by-play in your head as you're watching the game as a fan?
A little bit.
Okay.
A little bit.
All right.
This is Steve Krasanich from WGN News. May your weather be bright, may your traffic be light, and may all your news be merry this holiday season. Happy holidays.
WGN. For news at 10, watch WGN.
I keep stepping on you this week. I apologize for that.
It's okay, Pete.
You only have two more days with me, and then we're done. By the way, anybody buy any doobie yesterday on the show?
Wait, you want us to admit that live on the radio?
Why not? Violent. It's legal. No. Anybody have a beer yesterday? I did.
I did.
Okay, so you admit that. Why not? Yeah. Why not admit that you bought some pot?
Well, as Ryan Burrow, he seems to be hanging out.
He does. We're going to check in with him a little bit later. I know.
I didn't buy any, but I know people who did.
Right?
I know people that were in line and managed to get some.
Really?
Yeah.
No. Hundreds of people in line yesterday. Let's check in with Eric Rung from WGN TV. Dave, I'm sorry, what do you have over there?
I was going to say, for news at 10, watch WGN.
Sorry.
Micah Mater, Joe Donlin, Dan Roden, Chicago's most trusted meteorologist, Tom Skilling. For TV news at 10, watch Chicago's very own WGN.
I apologize. I thought you were done. Now let's check in with Eric Rung from WGN TV. Eric, where are you right now?
Good morning. Well, we're going to be heading down to the Thompson Center a little later on this morning. That's where people will be able to submit applications to be a part of this big cannabis expedition here, this new way, a new law here in the state of Illinois that allows for recreational marijuana. Of course, there are some groups that are kind of upset that they believe that some African-Americans as well as Latinx possible business owners have been kind of left out of this. You'll remember it wasn't that long ago that a number of aldermen in the city's Black Caucus tried to delay the sale of recreational marijuana in the city. However, Mayor Lightfoot was able to overcome that, as we saw yesterday, as there were long lines at several of the dispensaries. We're talking thousands of people were served. Relatively few glitches is what's being reported now. But this is going to be day two here tomorrow, today rather, and we're going to see if those lines will be back.
So you're going to the Thompson Center. Are people applying for licenses today? What's going on there?
Yeah, that's exactly it. And we're also going to get an update from kind of the governor's aide on cannabis. That's scheduled for 11 o'clock here this morning. But yes, applications for new ownership of cannabis dispensaries, that goes in. You can start applying at 7:30.
So, Eric, I have a question for you. I know there were a lot of questions that even with all of the news coverage that people had going to buy recreational marijuana, like the use of cash versus credit cards, whether people from out of state while they're here visiting can buy. Those questions seem to be being asked quite frequently, even though we've had all this news coverage.
Well, I think a lot of people want to make sure that they're not going to get arrested. I mean, I think that's probably the big thing. You know, the other thing that I heard you guys talking about just before we started chatting was, you know, had anybody bought marijuana there on the show and no one said yes. You got to remember here, it's still up to businesses to whether or not they're going to allow THC to be in their employees' blood systems. Mm-hmm. I mean, because it is still against federal law at this point. So they can decide, you know, I mean, whether it be NextStar for us or anybody, hey, if you have this in your system, we can still fire you. Just because it's legal in the state doesn't mean that we're going to allow our employees to smoke marijuana or eat the edibles. Now, as far as the other part of that goes, Steve, you know, you're talking about out of state. As far as you can have it as long as you keep it in Illinois, and if you're going to be traveling with it, you need to keep it in a sealed container, odorless container, and things like that. If you're following the law and you're in Illinois, you're fine. It doesn't matter where you're from. You hear a lot about marijuana tourism that's been taking place in some of the other states, the 10 other states that have already legalized marijuana. So they're expecting that as well. So if you have an ID and you're 21, you're able to purchase 30 grams of marijuana if you want to.
We're talking with Eric Rung from WGN-TV. Steve, to answer your question about the cash, we wondered about that yesterday, too, because Sunnyside, the dispensary just north of Wrigley Field, it was very sketchy yesterday because they had so many people in line. They walked them through a restaurant, then they walked through the back door of the dispensary. You have to pay cash, and then they walked out the front door. And we thought to ourselves, there's hundreds of people in line. They're carrying cash. And if it's a federal offense, where did they put the cash? Well, Illinois has made a deal with three banks in the state where those dispensaries can deposit the cash. That's where that money goes.
Yeah, it has to be a state bank. It has to be a state-operated bank or a locally operated bank. It can't be a bank that's operated federally under federal rules.
Right, right. Eric, people are going to be applying for licenses. What's the criteria today? And can Joe Schmo just show up at the Thompson Center and try to apply for a license?
Well, if you got thousands and thousands of dollars just lying around, then yeah. You also need to submit your plan. I mean, there's a lot of steps. I mean, it is an arduous task to apply for one of these licenses, and it is very, very expensive. The exact number, the dollar amount for even applying escapes me at the moment, but you don't get that back. I mean, it's kind of like this a deposit that you don't get back. And it is, again, I'm sorry, the number escapes me right now, the dollar amount, but it is extremely expensive. But, you know, if you have this detailed business plan ready to go, you can go apply, and the thousands of dollars, of course.
Right.
Yeah, and Eric, there's another question, I think, and this might become clear as we go through the day, but it'll be one that I think everybody will be interested in. Was there enough product for everybody yesterday, and how will shelves be stocked going forward?
Well, that's a big question, and you're right. That's going to be answered later today as well. I mean, from all of the reporting that I've been seeing throughout yesterday, as well as some of the reports that I've been reading this morning on how everything has been going. Again, relatively few glitches throughout the day, and most people that wanted to get marijuana yesterday, they were able to do so, even with the long lines. You have to also remember, I mean, these dispensaries have been gearing up for this big day for months now, and they wanted to make sure that they did have enough product on hand. Again, just a few glitches here and there, but for the most part, anybody that really wanted marijuana was able to get some yesterday.
Well, they didn't expect the medical marijuana of customers to show up and stock up, did they?
Well, no, is the short answer to that, but I think there was this big fear, and I remember. I mean, even months ago, there were articles and different reporting on just how the state is going to run out and that there wouldn't be enough. And I remember a report that kind of took a look at the other states and how much they had on hand compared to Illinois, and how this was going to be really tough for people, not only with the medical marijuana, but also for the recreational, to be able to actually get their hands on it. But it appears, or at least at this point, that if you want some, you could get some. But today could be a little different. I mean, I don't know their stocking, how they're going to be stocking this moving forward, and how much they actually did sell yesterday. But again, a lot of that's going to come out, I believe, today when we speak with the governor's aid to this whole cannabis in Illinois. Again, that's at 11 o'clock. It's scheduled for 11 o'clock at the Thompson Center.
By the way, the lieutenant governor showed up yesterday at Sunnyside and did buy pot, edibles.
Yeah, bought some gummies, yeah.
Right. Yeah. And by the way, we looked it up. It's a non-refundable $5,000 fee. You must be over 21 if you want to apply today.
Yes, there it is. There it is. And you have to have the business plan, too. I know that's part of it. You have to submit all the paperwork.
I know all these dispensaries made so much money yesterday, but moving forward, I mean, you're going to be taxed by the city. You're going to be taxed by the state. They're talking about these taxes could be a little bit too much. The state's going to generate anywhere between $400 and $600 million this year alone, just from taxes.
Yeah. I mean, they're expecting a lot from it. And, if it goes the way they're going, this could be a big boost to Illinois that's looking for revenue, basically wherever it can.
Well, where does that revenue go? That's the million-dollar question. Eric Rung from WGN TV. You're the best. Thanks, buddy.
Hey, you got it. Have a good morning, guys.
All right. Live from the Thompson Center.
I saw somebody post a photograph of their receipt yesterday, and mm-hmm. It showed just how much tax was on there. It was like 25%. With everything added up, it was 25%. Probably even more than that.
25%. Yeah. Wow. Illinois is expected to reach an estimated $1.6 billion this year in pot revenue. $1.6 billion. John Williams actually was on the show yesterday at 6 a.m. and he ran out to the Sunnyside Pot Dispensary, which is right by Nuts on Clark, just north of Wrigley Field, about a block north of Wrigley Field. And he passed over the phone to a woman named Jackie who was in line.
I got in line at 3:30 this morning. I wanted to be one of the first people to go and buy cannabis legally, and it ended up working out for me. It's history making. I'm really excited. I am a regular cannabis user, so this is going to improve my life and a lot of people's lives. I bought some pre-rolled sativa and then some indica that's just some flower, and then, of course, some edibles, and those are chocolate.
Everybody understand that? Do you know what she was talking about? Okay,
kind of.
Some
spot. Edibles.
I got the edible. I got the chocolate.
Remember, you don't have to smoke it anymore. You can take it in a gummy or a chocolate.
How are we going to disguise those at home?
Yeah, because they kind of look like gummy bears. And then the question, too, is how much do you eat? Do you eat like an entire brownie, or do you have to eat part of the brownie? These are all questions we need to answer.
I think you got to figure that out.
Yeah.
It's hit and miss. I mean, you got to try it out over the weekend and see how that is. But most people got in line yesterday because it was a history-making thing. Let's check in with Big O.
Good morning. Well, after a day of football, we still have two trading days to finish this opening week of 2020. And as we look at the trade before the holiday, hog futures moved higher during the year of 2019, coming on hopes that China will further increase pork imports because of the outbreak of African swine fever, and that disease has reshaped the global meat markets by pushing China to search the world for meat to replace millions of dead pigs. The most actively traded February lean hog contract down 37 cents before the holiday, and the shipment of pork to China has increased, but it needs to increase a lot more. As we take a look at grain futures on the day before the holiday, wheat, corn, and soybeans posted annual gains after that initial U.S.-China trade deal has been announced is taking place in the White House on January the 16th. Coming up early in the new year, the Illinois Specialty Crop Conference will be conducted January 8th through 10th at the Crown Plaza Hotel in Springfield. That conference will feature nearly 100 speakers and 60 trade show exhibitors and will again host 5 concurrent pre-conference workshops, general sessions, and also breakout sessions for specialty crop producers. And in Indiana, the Purdue Top Farmer Conference is scheduled for January 10th. That will be at the Beck Agricultural Center in Lafayette. That's Ag Biz. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thank you, Big O. A few things. Don Larson passed away, Dave Ennett. 20 years ago, I had a black and white picture, which was 3 feet by 2 feet, signed. It was a picture of him pitching in the World Series, signed by Don Larson and Yogi Berra, and I sold it. I sold it. I bought it about 25 years ago, and I sold it 20 years ago, and it still bothers me to this day.
Did you make a nice profit on it?
Not bad. Yeah. But still, you like to hold on to things like that, and sure. I thought about it today. Don Larson.
Only perfect game, only no-hitter in World Series history. Perfect game, 1956. But, you know, other than that, I was looking at his career numbers this morning, like year by year. He had a 21-loss season.
What?
Back when decisions for pitchers meant a lot more than they do today.
Right.
In 1954 for Baltimore, he went 3-21. His ERA was 4.37, which today people would look at that and say, okay, you know, but it was a different era. But he never won more than 11 games in a season. That was 56 when he threw the perfect game. He pitched for both Chicago teams, ended his career with the Cubs in 1967.
Really?
Pitched in 3 games for them. Pitched in 61, pitched in 25 games for the White Sox. And had one of his better years. He went 7-2.
How long was he with the Yankees? Because people think he's such a great pitcher because he pitched that perfect game in the, what was it, 56 World Series?
56.
Yogi jumps into his arms.
Yeah.
That picture.
He was with them for 5 seasons in the 50s.
56, 61. So he played with 55. Moose.
Let's see. In 1960, he went to the Kansas City A's.
Okay.
So 55 through 59.
Okay. So he missed the 3 M's. Moose, Maris, and Mantle in the 60s.
Yeah, he wasn't there in the 60s.
Okay. No. Something that we talked about the other day that just kind of blew up was Dave Ennett has a croquet set in his garage, and I got a text yesterday, or was it an email, with the instructions for croquet. Now, I'm looking at the youngsters on the show, Super Joe and Viv. Do you have any idea what croquet is? Super Joe?
I sure do, yeah. I'm dominant.
Have you played croquet?
Yeah, dominant, some would say.
I didn't realize there was, you know, 3 or 5 different types of grips. How do you grip the mallet?
Grip it and rip it, baby. Nice and strong. You get a nice hold on that bad boy.
I didn't know there was a particular way to do it. You just kind of, like a golf club?
No, you can. Well, I guess you can kind of do that.
It's more of a pendulum type swing, isn't it, Joe?
Yeah, I kind of have a one-handed, here we go, you know?
No, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
It's not polo. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I hit that croquet ball hard, buddy.
But do you do it horizontally
talking about.
Or verbally? Or vertically, you know what I'm saying?
Well, Vivi, you have no idea.
I have no idea.
You've never played croquet, do you know what it is.
Nope.
Okay. There's the Solomon grip, which is fist over fist. Dave, how do you hold the croquet mallet? And when was the last time you played
at the Ennett household? Probably, it's been hanging on that hook in my garage. Probably has only been moved when I've cleaned the garage and then it goes back up on the hooks. It's probably been 15 years.
You can hold it like a golf club. You can do fist over fist, and then you can do the Irish grip, which is kind of like... you know how they putt in golf? They hold the putter a different way. You know what I'm talking about? That weird grip.
Yeah, sure.
Where one fist is above and the lower fist.
Where you hold the top of the putter.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's how you can do that. But who knew it was 25 pages for croquet?
So if I have the croquet mallet between my legs and swing it like a pendulum forward, that's wrong.
I think it's wrong.
Ugh.
And did you know, people that have played croquet, that the croquet game is in diamonds? You're supposed to set it up in diamonds. I had no idea.
What do you mean? The actual
wickets? The wickets?
Yes, the wickets, which is those metal little hoops.
Oh, I called those the stakes.
Well, the stakes are what you're trying to hit at either end.
Oh, those are dangerous
the
things.
The wickets.
Those wickets.
Well, that we were talking about jarts the other day.
Yes, this was croquet was kind of dangerous.
It was.
You know, when little kids are playing with it, my brother used to always, you know, try to whack me with it.
Yeah, we would beat each other up with the croquet mallets.
The balls are heavy.
Yeah.
Yes, I remember my parents took our set away because we were trying to beat each other with this.
Yeah. It is a dangerous sport. Is it a sport?
Kids will find anyway. Yeah, it's considered a sport. Is it, Dave?
No.
I guess, yeah.
It's not in the Olympics.
Sure it is. Well, maybe it was at one time. I don't know.
Can I buy your set?
Can you buy it?
Yeah, $40.
I wouldn't.
Think about it.
I certainly wouldn't gouge you.
Think about it.
Dave
$40.
Has to dust it first.
I'll give you $40 cash right now.
I have to clean it up.
The croquet set. And now to Steve Grzanich for our weekly Associated Bank Thought Leader Conversation.
Our thought leader today is Brian Henderson, a senior vice president at Whitnell, part of Associated Bank. Brian, welcome back. Good morning.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
We want to focus in on something called personal enterprise. We want to focus in on not only how entrepreneurs have this, how your clients have this, but why it's so important to be monitoring this moving forward.
Well, I could say that I think everyone really has a personal enterprise. And when I wrote the article for Forbes recently, we focused on the personal enterprise such that, you know, as I have a lot of clients who are entrepreneurs and I have a lot of clients who are senior corporate executives, and I say this tagline, which is success breeds complexity. And what happens is senior executives, they get to the point where they're time starved. I mean, really most of the clients that I work with hired me because they're time starved. And what they do is they either build their business or they work for a senior level, they have a senior level executive job. And there's really three components. You have work, you have family, and then you have your personal enterprise. And what happens is if you become time starved, you make decisions that, I mean, you're gonna make sure you keep up with your job, and you're gonna make sure that you spend time with your kids, right? But you might not necessarily spend time in your personal enterprise. And how do we define that? The definition would be, you know, you make money, you've got revenue, you've got expenses, it costs money to live, right? And then you've got tax rules, and you've got investments, and you've got insurance, you got to protect yourself, you've got maybe have an estate plan, maybe you don't. You know, all those things combined encompass your personal enterprise.
The complexity part of this is one that, and this happens to, I think, a lot of us, and people will be able to relate. We just become so overwhelmed with the nuts and bolts of things that sometimes we let things fall by the wayside.
Absolutely. And it happens to most people at some point. And what I found is there's typically a key conversation with someone or an epiphany, and they say, and the client will say, I don't know what I don't know, and I need help. I need a trusted advisor to help me keep organized and help me maximize my company benefits and help me maximize tax law and help me make sure I'm coordinating my investments. And do I have enough insurance? All these things are connected.
Yeah, because a couple of things happen when you let things fall by the wayside. In a perfect world, it's just maybe a little mistake and you move on. But with wealth management, we're talking about either not being able to further build wealth or to make a financial mistake that you're going to lose money.
That's a very good point. I say this all the time, which is I think my primary role for my clients is to bring peace of mind and also to protect them from making a decision that would cost them money, and also helping them to spend more time doing the things they really want to do and the things that they're passionate about. Most people don't want to sit, you know, at home on a Saturday night and realize that, you know, oh, I've got too much in large cap growth, or, you know, maybe I don't have enough insurance. I mean, it takes you down a path where you're not spending the time you want to spend with the people you love or doing, you know, doing your charitable work or whatever you decide your priorities are.
In the conversation we're having, even though we're focusing on people who are in the C-suite, perhaps, or people who have their own business, and certainly people who have been good at wealth building, these are lessons that all of us could take away on the business side of things, isn't it?
Yes. You know, being organized and making sure that, you know, most of the time, if you have a certain level of success, I would encourage people to find a trusted advisor that understands complexity and to help them. You know, we're sitting on the same side of the table as the client. Our job as a fiduciary is to do whatever's best for the client all the time. And to have a relationship like that is invaluable.
And I know that with Whitnell, it's sort of one-stop shopping, isn't it? You come for the financial advisor, the wealth builder, and you get all of the other things that come with it. There's legal help. There's planning. There's all kinds of things involved.
Yes, we as a fiduciary, which means that I come to work every day and I do whatever's best for my clients, no matter what it is. And whether it's on the investment side or on, you know, coordinating, we do a lot of coordination with other advisors that, you know, a lot of times we do the tax return as well, but sometimes we don't. So I coordinate with the accountant. I coordinate with the attorney. I'm coordinating with the mortgage person because they hired me to like free up their own time. So I encourage them to let me coordinate everything and then lay out the pros and cons of making that decision, whatever that decision may be.
The new year is the perfect time to get organized, isn't it?
Yes, even I should do that.
We all should. Brian, how can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
Well, you can call me at Whitnell, which is 630-575-2315, or email me at bhenderson@whitnell.com. That's B-H-E-N-D-E-R-S-O-N at Whitnell, W-H-I-T-N-E-L-L.com.
Thanks for coming in. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Brian Henderson is Senior Vice President of Whitnell, which is part of Associated Bank. It's our thought leader conversation. We'll do it for you every Thursday right here. Let's get an update now on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for this Thursday, January the 2nd. The weekly look at first-time claims for unemployment benefits due today. Analysts are expecting to see that number be at 222,000 filing those first-time claims. That's about the same as the previous week. We'll get those numbers at 7:30 this morning. We'll also see the PMI manufacturing index, also the Fed balance sheet and money supply today. Just a few things that could move the markets on this Thursday, January the 2nd.
Love it. Thank you, Steve. By the way, you mentioned that you got to get organized for the new year. You're supposed to purge before the new year and get organized. All my entire life is in my backpack behind me, and I was scheduled to clean that out yesterday. Unfortunately, I started watching football. Took a nap, woke up, watched the Rose Bowl, and I never did that. Anybody get organized yet? Anybody clean?
I started to do some of that stuff, and I actually had to go back and retrace my steps because I was just throwing stuff away, and I realized that I'd thrown away some new health insurance information that had just arrived in the mail.
Where do you file your papers? Because we're in radio, you're supposed to save everything, and you want to save your financial records, you want to save stuff at work. Where do you people put all your papers?
I have a file cabinet, like a filing system at home.
Okay.
Where I have, with file folders labeled.
That's what my husband does. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very organized.
So I have it.
Wow, is that organized?
Yeah.
I have one of those as well, and in my office at home, I have a little office at home, and it's a fireproof file cabinet. As fireproof as it can be, so it has some important stuff in there. And
yeah,
I get,
like your passports. Yeah. And
what's that going to run me?
Mine was about $150, so it's, if you get the good fireproof one, it's going to be kind of expensive.
Mine's not fireproof, in case I ever have to burn it.
My passport,
mine isn't either.
My passport is in my sock drawer, and that is the honest-to-God truth. I didn't even think about that.
You got to organize your sock drawer.
Right.
That's another thing you got to do.
You can actually buy a really nice fireproof little storage locker so that you can actually put that down in the file cabinet.
Okay.
You can get one of those for $50. That's good for, you know, a couple thousand degrees of heat.
Can we get someone to convert my files electronically so I don't have to do it?
That's the best thing to do. Have a digital, have a zip drive either somewhere that you can carry with you or put them in a cloud. Put them in the cloud.
I was also going to purge the photos from my phone and start fresh. Because how many photos do you have on your phone in general?
Oh,
because you go to photos and it'll tell you right away.
going to tell you very quickly.
I started doing this last couple months, ordering all prints, and I'm still doing the photo albums.
Are you really?
Yeah.
I gave photos this year for the first time in years. People love them.
People love them.
In frames. When was the last time you did that?
I love it. And some of the quality is not that great when you get them done, but I tell you, I get like 100 from like Snapfish, and I order, you know, all, and I'm trying to catch up, though. I'm like a year behind right now.
Dave, hold that thought. Everybody check your phone and see how many pictures you have on there.
Find out.
Do I have a problem? I have 4,749.
Well, before top of the hour news, we were talking about how many pictures. We were talking about getting organized for the new year, and then I said, everybody check how many pictures you have on your phone, because I was going to purge the pictures on my phone, and unfortunately, I just checked to see how many pictures that I have. Let's do a quick whip around and find out. Steve Grzanich, we'll start with you. How many pictures?
4,749.
Okay. Mary?
Gosh, I just took it off my phone, but it was only about 1,471 or something, because I go through and delete them.
Okay.
As I go through.
Let's check with the Greek girl, because Greeks are hoarders. How many, Vivi?
I have 10,344 photos.
Holy shnikes.
10,000.
You gotta clean those out.
Super Joe?
I have 89.
Wait, 8, 8, 8, 8, 9?
Yeah, but I actually,
less than 100?
Yeah, but
do you have any friends?
No, my iCloud was not allowing me to take pictures, so I had to upgrade my iCloud, which I just recently did.
Okay.
So
I'll
get over 100 soon.
You have 89 pictures.
Yeah, but also 21 videos, so that probably takes up more space.
What do you have, an iPhone 2? Is it a walkie-talkie?
Calling from a walkie-talkie.
Dave Ennett?
3,332 photos and 153 videos.
Yeah, the videos will kill you. Yeah, I only have 30 videos.
Electronic hoarding is a real thing. It is. You should clear out your phone. I have 25,532 photos on my phone.
And you're telling us to clear out our phones?
1,850 videos. Wow.
You've taken like 10 this morning.
Man, I got to clear that puppy out.
So if you delete them on the phone, they're still in your iCloud, though, aren't they? Don't you have to delete them in both places?
You're asking the wrong guy. I don't know. How does that work? Super Joe, you just did that.
I think Steve's right.
No, I mean,
they stay in the cloud?
I think it prompts you. So if you delete something from your regular photo library, it'll ask, you know, are you sure you want to do this? Because it's going to be gone forever.
So 3 years ago, I cleared out my phone and I put them on an external hard drive. Do you think I'll ever go back and look at those pictures?
Not a chance.
Never.
That's why I try to make prints of the one I like. Because where are these pictures going to go?
Right.
I mean, look at us, how we look at old pictures of our grandparents or whatever. These kids aren't going to have that.
Right. Remember, back in the old days, you'd have to drop off your film, and then you'd have to wait a week for your pictures.
Mm-hmm. And some wouldn't come out. Right. Now, this says, I'm deleting a photo here, and it says, this photo will be deleted from iCloud photos on all your devices.
Okay.
Well, it's got to be somewhere, though. Isn't it always somewhere?
Is the cloud your device, though?
I just deleted a photo, and it didn't say anything. It just deleted. Nothing. This is old people talk right here. Where does this photo go?
Wait, I'm
going, going on here? I sound like my mother.
I'm going to iCloud right now to see if it's been deleted. No, so I just deleted a photo.
Okay.
Wait, hold on. Let me see. I'm deleting that.
How do you go to your iCloud right away?
I had iCloud up this morning anyway because I was looking at mail.
Okay.
And let me see. I'm refreshing.
I don't even know where my iCloud is. How do I bring it up?
I don't even know if I have
iCloud.com.
One.
iCloud.com. I've never done that.
And it did delete it from iCloud as well.
Okay.
So that's the answer to the question. It's gone from your phone, all your devices, and iCloud.
So how do I get to my iCloud?
Go to iCloud.com.
All right.
And then it'll ask you to sign in with your username and password.
I've never done this.
I think it's the same as your when you sign into.
Oh yeah, it asks for your Apple ID.
Yeah.
Okay.
Give me your password. I'll take care of it.
Now remember, there's three in my family. That's on my iCloud. So I have my wife Sarah, my 14-year-old son Charlie.
See, that's the thing. Isn't somebody else always going to have that picture, even if you delete it?
Right.
I mean, especially if you shared it or whatever.
Well, you got to be careful. No,
if you
naked
put it
pictures
out on Facebook or anywhere, it mm-hmm is out there.
If it's a shared device, it's going to be deleted from all those devices.
It will?
That's what this says.
Oh, I forgot mm-hmm my password. This is bad. This isn't good.
Did you change your password at work? We had 10 days to do it.
When?
Gotta do that. I don't know. You should have been notified.
When?
I don't
now
know.
Remember, like,
over the holidays.
I'm like the guy that no one talks to that shows up when people leave. So that's why
right
I'm here.
Well, so you I need have to change, email, don't you?
Yes, I need to change my password.
Yes, you do. Oh, before like 6 years.
I think you're scaring people, Mary. It's separate. It's don't you change? It's different from everybody.
Oh,
so
it is?
Yeah, it depends on when you signed yeah up and all that stuff.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Sorry, Pete.
All right.
You'll get a notification.
Wow. Let's just move on.
Now for some more news. Ready?
Welcome to the Top 6 of 6.
What?
That is great radio.
This is your first look at what people, animals, and assorted fruits and vegetables will be talking about today.
6 at 6 at number 1, Pope Francis has apologized for hitting the hand of a woman who grabbed him and yanked him towards her. Francis said, so many times we lose patience. I do it too. You can see the video on my Twitter or look on my Pete McMurray Radio Show Facebook page. The Pope is upset.
You were there? You were there?
I wasn't there. Oh, the video okay is oh on my Facebook page.
Yeah, I saw the video, and she really yanked him around, though. She pulled him back to her, and it looked like it hurt.
Could have hyperextended his yeah arm.
He is right 83.
He's 83. However, he's one step away from God. So if you're one step away from God and you have that chance, I understand where the woman came from, but if I get yanked too, that would upset me. 83 years old. Okay.
I went to Catholic school, and the woman is lucky she didn't get hit with a ruler.
So did I. Sister Patricia Ann drank cold coffee, watched the Cubs in the afternoon, and hit everybody with a ruler.
Yep. So did Sister Martina.
I think it's more that she's fortunate that she wasn't tackled by the Pope's security detail.
You're right. Yes. Number 2, sad day yesterday. CLTV went off the air last night.
Sad day for us here at CLTV. The station goes black at 6 o'clock tonight. This is our last newscast.
Did you work at CLTV?
I've been on CLTV.
Okay.
Well, we all have because the 9 o'clock hour
oh, yeah
here was on CLTV.
I guess I've been on CLTV.
Yeah, I thought it was New Year's Eve they actually did their last show.
Was it New Year's Eve? It wasn't yesterday? I couldn't find it on my cable. Maybe that was the problem they were having. Where is CLTV? Well, it's no more.
Did you call to complain?
I did not. I didn't need to. Number 3?
Sorry. That's my fault.
We had a live paper yesterday. We couldn't get the paper soundbite. Donnie Wahlberg started off 2020 with a thoughtful gesture by tipping an IHOP server $2,020 in St. Charles. The total bill was $76. He wrote, Happy New Year and 2020 Tip Challenge. How'd we find out about this? His wife, Jenny McCarthy, posted the receipt on Twitter with hundreds of replies tweeting and thanking the actor. So what is the 2020 Tip Challenge? Are we supposed to tip more? I think I'm a pretty generous tipper. What are we supposed to do here?
Are you supposed to tip $20.20, or does it have to be $2,020?
Well, he makes more money than all of us combined, so I think it's okay for him. But the 2020 Tip Challenge, are we supposed to tip more?
Only if you get a raise.
Hmm.
Are we supposed to take photographs of our the tips that we give and
yeah
post them? Is that?
I mean, it's one thing to do it, and then Jenny, of course, has to post it and tell everybody, look at how great my husband is. I love him so much.
Braggers.
Yes, love him so much. Number 4, the Rose Bowl. Oregon beats Wisconsin 28-27. UW had a turnover, what was it, 7.5 minutes left in the fourth quarter?
Yes.
I was texting with Super Joe at the time, Dave, and mm-hmm his quote was, oh, Pete, lots of time left. And I thought to myself, there it is. He jinxed it right there.
Was that before or after the fumble?
It was after the fumble.
Okay.
And Oregon, it was after Oregon scored.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they did have a lot of time.
Yeah, they did have a lot of time.
They did, but, yeah, it comes down to mistakes in the fourth quarter, Dave.
Dang those Ducks.
And not jinxes. It definitely didn't come down to any jinxes.
Hmm. Kind of a superstitious guy. I don't like to text during games like that. My wife, very upset. She walked out of the room. It's funny that you mentioned that on text message. Super Joe said, I bet your wife's upset. She walked out of the room and walked upstairs and finished the game upstairs. UW graduate. NBA Commissioner David Stern passed away yesterday at the age of 77. Stern was commissioner for three decades. He replaced Larry O'Brien as commissioner in 1984. If you remember, the NBA, back in the late 70s, the championship game was not on live TV. They would run it late at night. Dave, you remember this.
Yes, I do.
And then Bird and Magic came into the league. And then David Stern became commissioner, and this guy got drafted.
The Chicago Bulls pick Michael Jordan of the University of North Carolina.
1984, Michael Jeffrey Jordan was drafted, and the rest is history. That's when the NBA was the NBA. The Bulls-Knicks during the season, those were wars, man. Now they're two of the worst teams in the NBA.
But the league financially is in unbelievable shape compared to where it was.
I know, I mean, but
the average franchise value is $2 billion.
I mean,
you could have picked up a franchise back before David Stern.
Yes.
For, I don't know, a few bucks.
I do watch the NBA. Mm-hmm. And my son, who's in high school, Charlie, is very much into the NBA. But it's not like in the 90s. I mean, every game meant something. And the three-point shot, no one drives the basket anymore.
No, the game has changed.
It has changed. Again, I sound like an old person. And number six, we all love babies, right? Two of the first babies born in Chicago on New Year's Day. Philip Benjamin Brown came into the world just before 1 a.m. Wednesday at Illinois Masonic. And his mom, Stephanie, and dad, Benjamin, welcomed the 6-pound, 14-ounce boy. And baby Sloan Jade Gertler was born at Northwestern Medicine Prentice Women's Hospital just before 2 a.m. So if you're the first baby born, don't you get a Chicago package?
They used to do that. And is there a...
Don't you get a celebratory dinner or something, hopefully?
I thought they would give
lobster,
the parents
champagne,
some type of package with Garrett's popcorn, a dinner out.
Yeah,
that'd
they
be cool.
They always seem to used to do that. I think that's why don't parents sort of plan? You know, hey, we want to have the first kid January 1st.
How do you do that? You plan that C-section? How does that work? C-section shouldn't count.
Okay, Pete, go back 9 months. Count that. Yeah. Do we have to do a tutorial?
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that.
Thanks, Mayor.
Sorry. Yeah, I have to work that out in my head. Yeah. Okay.
He's still thinking about
it. I am. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Joe. All right. 6:23. People that are listening at this hour, most of us are sleep deprived, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sleep deprived workers are twice as likely to get fired, according to a new survey.
Wait a minute. That's
if you're not
fair.
Getting enough sleep, it
Why?
Could cost you your job.
Because you're always late?
Yep. You're exhausted and you're late for work. That's why. I keep looking at Dave when I'm saying this, and you're looking at me like, I'm never late.
Dave
I've
and
never
I are,
been late.
Yeah, we're both sleep-deprived, and yeah, we're rarely
late. We're always
late.
Here on
I'm
time. Mary's here before me, usually, a couple of minutes.
Exhausted employees are twice as likely to get fired because of poor work performance, or they are late for work compared to well-rested workers.
Well, poor performance, that's a different issue.
Yeah.
And bouncing back after a job loss is also harder for sleep-deprived workers who took an average of 5.1 months to find a new job.
This is hard because so many people are sleep-deprived nowadays. I mean, the latest studies on this show that there is a large percentage of the population that's not getting enough sleep. So this could impact a lot of people.
I agree with you 100%.
I just blame it on your iPhone. I blame everything on the iPhone. Because that's what you're doing. You're staying up. You're looking at it.
Looking at your
bed,
iPhone.
You're looking at it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nobody sleeps. It's vibrating in their head, under their pillow. I mean, come on.
What time does everybody go to bed? Last night I went to bed at 10:30 after the news.
Too late.
It is too late.
Yeah. I went to bed at halftime of the Sugar Bowl.
I went to bed at 8:30.
I was watching Mrs. Maisel. I went to bed about 9.
Yeah, I can't go to bed at 8:30.
But I couldn't fall asleep.
Yeah, so
because
do?
I didn't get up yesterday morning early.
Right.
So that throws, Mary, I don't know if that happens to you. That throws my body clock way off.
Yeah.
If I have one day where I don't come in, I don't get up at 3:15.
Yeah, like over the weekend. So some Sunday nights are really tough.
Yes.
To get to sleep.
I've been doing this, what, for two weeks? Got two more days left. There was 2 days where I didn't take a quick nap in the afternoon, and I could feel my body running down. Mm-hmm. So yesterday I slept for an hour and a half. God, I love the afternoon nap.
That's a long nap, Pete.
Oh, it's wonderful. It reminded me of college. Woke up watching football. Fell asleep watching football. Woke up, started watching the Rose Bowl.
Those are the best.
Oh, just wonderful.
I put all my Christmas decorations away. 10 boxes. It took me all day. Thank you very much while you were lounging on the couch watching football.
My wife did that yesterday morning when I was at work.
It's a lot of work.
It is.
It's so much. It's worse than putting them out. You know, taking all the ornaments off, and oh my gosh. And you don't have Christmas music playing anymore, so you're kind of like, oh.
My wife is very type A, so she likes to make sure everything's clean and in its place, and that's why she wanted to do it, because I just kind of throw things in a box and put them downstairs.
And you got to dust while you go along, too. There's a lot involved.
She took the lights outside and put them away.
Wow.
Pulled them off the trees outside.
That's your job, Pete.
I know it is. I put them up.
Well,
I'm like,
hey. Heck?
I could have helped you. She's like, I was in a zone. I was in a zone.
Yeah, got to get it done. You just want it done. It's January 1. It's January 2, you know?
When's the appropriate time? Right now?
Well, some people leave everything up through, you know, the 7th or whenever. You're not supposed to put your nativity set away, though, right?
What is that?
You have to leave that up until, what is it, the Feast of the...
Epiphany?
Epiphany.
Epiphany, yeah.
Right.
I put mine away. I'm so sorry. Bless me, Father. Bless me, Father.
You need to go to confession for that.
I know.
I come from a very Catholic family. My mother used to leave up the Christmas tree and all the Christmas decorations till the end of January.
Yeah.
When is the Christmas season over? Late January, right? Or does it end with the Epiphany?
Well, it's the 12 days of Christmas. Isn't that following?
I don't know. Maybe we were just lazy.
I don't know. I had to get them out of my... I'm done. I threw my Christmas tree out the door, too. It's out the curb.
So they pick it up where you live?
Yeah, they'll pick it up eventually.
If you live in the city, you have to drop it off at certain places.
Yeah, no, in the burbs. They'll pick it up.
My neighbor took his Christmas tree down a week ago. It's been sitting in the alley. No one's going to pick that up. You got to drop it off somewhere. Do I need to tell them? Because it's right behind my garage, and it's starting to bug me.
Yeah, I would take it to their front door and knock on their door and remind
them. What do I say? Hey, man.
Hey, you can't put this out in the alley.
Right. This thing's behind my my garage. Can you move it, please? Yeah. Get it out of the way. Coming up, we're going to talk to an old friend. Mark Moses is in a new series. By the way, anybody watching network TV right now, any shows on network TV? I feel like everything that we talk about on the show, everything's on cable, Netflix, or Amazon. When was the last time you DVR'd a show on network TV?
Oh, I watch a lot of network TV.
Like what? I mean, besides the reality shows. I know you love Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, I watch all those, and This Is Us. You know,
oh, I forgot about This Is Us. Okay.
That kind of stuff. And what's the other one? Why can't I think about it? The one with the, you know, the guy who committed suicide, and it's just like This Is Us. Anyway, I watch those type of shows. I watch a lot of cop shows. Yeah, everybody watches Chicago Med stuff. A lot of people watch those.
Yeah.
I've been watching this, Patricia Heaton from Everybody Loves Raymond.
Yep.
She's in a new series called Carol's
Second Act,
which is really good.
Oh, Million Little Things. Yeah. That's the show I watch. Million Little Things.
I've never heard of it.
Oh, it's fantastic.
What network is that on?
I don't know, but I don't even know. I just, you know,
do we even pay attention anymore?
No, we don't.
I'm watching Jack Ryan on Amazon and Goliath with Billy Bob Thornton as an attorney. It's so good. Goliath. I highly recommend it if you have Amazon. Great show.
I watched, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisley. Maisel.
Dave was just talking about it. Wasn't that you talking about it the other day?
Yeah, I'm binge watching it.
Well, I have not watched it. My wife has watched it.
It's great.
Okay. I've seen one or two episodes.
So funny.
I know. I need to watch that. It's on the list. Well, yeah, you got to get through Netflix, then Amazon, and then you got to hit the other one.
It's on Amazon Prime, yeah.
Mark Moses is in a new series. You remember Mark? He was Duck Phillips in Mad Men. He played the creepy dad, Paul, in Desperate Housewives. He has been in Platoon. Chicago guy. He stars in a new series with Stephen Dorff tonight on Fox called Deputy. We'll talk to him next hour. Pete McMurray in the Skyline Studios here for one more day. Then Bob Surratt takes over on Monday. Here's a question for the crew. Have you ever dated a person at work? Anyone?
I married one.
You married a person that you worked with?
Yeah.
So did I. I met my wife at work.
Wow.
Huh.
I think it's a lot bigger thing than you think. I think more people date, you know, behind
people at work
specs.
Because, you know, we're all overworked and we spend most of our time at
exactly.
work every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you're going to meet people.
Right.
Huh. Okay. How about sleeping with a coworker? You want to have an affair at work? There's a website that can make it happen.
There's a new danger, Will Robinson. Danger.
There's a new dating service called Affair at Work. It was launched last month. It's designed to help married and taken employees safely cheat on their partners at the office. Here's how it works. I love the silence. A wannabe cheater heads to the site's homepage, Affair at Work, where he or she can log in through an Instagram account, enter a coworker's crush's handle and email address, as well as his or her own. Then the potential flame receives an email declaring a coworker wants to have an affair with you. If they choose to go to the site and happen to enter the other person's Instagram handle and email address, the two timers get an email breaking the good news.
Boy, that sounds dangerous.
It does. I could see you sending reply to somebody else, and oh boy, the boss. Oh boy,
the email's
trouble.
The email says you both requested an affair with each other. Enjoy. That's what it says. What happens if the person goes to management?
You're in a lot of trouble, probably.
Right.
Yeah.
And or if you get rejected, then you got to deal with that person.
And you walk around, yeah,
basis.
You're looking at the person.
Yeah.
Have you ever asked someone out at work and they've said no? I don't think I have. Dave, what were you going to say?
No, I.
How awkward is
we
that?
We used to have training sessions about that very issue. It was pretty clear you're not supposed to do that.
Can management tell you not to date other employees?
I believe management can tell you to do anything they want, right?
I know they can, but can that be held up? So you, if you start dating, they can't fire you, can they?
I know there's a supervisory thing here. So if management can tell supervisors they can't date non-supervisors, I think. That might be a rule.
Okay.
That sounds like a rule.
I've been watching The Morning Show. That's the Apple TV thing with
Jennifer Aniston.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's one of the subplots because it's the aftermath of the whole Matt Lauer thing, except it's not Matt and Lauer, but it's, you can tell it's based on that with the Today Show.
Okay.
And there's a couple that is dating and they want to be able to continue to date, even though they've got all this stuff swirling around them.
Right.
They go to HR, actually.
And tell them that they're dating?
Yeah. It's like a preemptive strike.
Mary, I know it was a long time ago, but did you go to HR when you started dating your husband?
We didn't even have an HR. It was a small radio station.
I'm trying to think. I don't think I did.
There were only two women that worked there.
I was moving to Chicago. It was in Rockford, where I met my wife. She came from Madison. We met in Rockford, and we both moved to Chicago. But no, we didn't go to HR.
Heck no.
Uh-uh.
Because, you know, radio was so different. I mean, we had parties all the time together, you know, with the whole everybody was dating everybody else.
Out of all
else.
The media, let's face it, radio, we're a train wreck. Everybody that
exactly.
works in radio is a train wreck.
It's a soap opera.
They're getting drunk at office parties, doing inappropriate things. I mean, think about it.
Well, the small
It always
markets.
Happens.
Not all of us.
Yes, it does.
Yes.
Come on.
Okay, but now look at it this way. Let's say you had gone to HR.
Right.
That had existed.
Okay.
And under today's standards, you had said, well, we better come clean with this. Then, and they said, well, you should, we are discouraging interpersonal relationships among employees. And then your life would be dramatically different. You wouldn't be married.
You're right.
To the same person. You wouldn't have your son.
You're right.
I mean, think about it.
Yikes.
Wouldn't have your dog.
Right. Wouldn't have your dog. Forget about your wife and your marriage.
No, I said you wouldn't have your wife. You wouldn't have your son. You wouldn't have your dog.
Yeah. I mean, I do that a lot where I look at my life. If I would have taken a different turn, what would have happened?
You can't do the
what ifs. Well, I know you don't beat yourself up, but sometimes you look back and say, I wonder if this would have happened, where would I have ended up? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, if I didn't move to northern Wisconsin at the age of, 24, mm-hmm. I would have never met my husband.
Right.
I've had three kids, two grandbabies.
Right.
Two grand dogs. I mean, it's a lot. It's
something to think about. Interesting. You wouldn't have had your dog. Thank you for that, Dave.
I'm just trying to open your eyes.
You wouldn't have had your dog. The only thing that loves me at my house right now is my dog, Wrigley. See? Yes. Here's a question for you. If you make it on the air, we're going to set you up with a family four-pack of passes to the Lake Home and Cabin Show January 10th through the 12th at the Schaumburg Convention Center. It's Chicagoland's only show specializing in vacation homes and the second home lifestyle. Details at lakehomeandcabinshow.com. So if you make it on the air, we'll set you up with a family four-pack of tickets to the Lake Home and Cabin Show. We talked about foods you've never eaten your whole life. What foods would you give up for the rest of your life to lose weight or look great, to maintain a great-looking body? First of all, let me ask the crew here, what food have you never eaten your whole life? Because Dave Ennett was blown away that I've never had a plum. And I think I'm going to hold out. I've never had a plum, Mary.
Plums are awesome.
Never had one. I don't know if I'm going to try it.
They're really good.
Is there a food that you've never eaten your entire life?
Oh, mine's also a fruit.
Many, but I can't think right now.
Super Joe?
Pomegranate.
What?
Pomegranate.
Like I'm trying to think of that name. I don't think I've ever had a pomegranate.
Yeah, but like it's in all those tasty drinks. Like you see it and you're intrigued by something in the cooler that says pomegranate, but I've never eaten a pomegranate.
But you've had, it counts if you're drinking the LaCroix with the pomegranate, right? With vodka? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, exactly.
I think that counts. The pomegranate is that red deal, right?
Yeah, it looks kind of weird.
With the seeds?
It looks like it's from space.
What do you eat it with?
You just eat it by itself.
Ugh.
Mm-hmm.
You just take it out from,
okay.
Yeah, you just eat it with a spoon.
I don't think I've ever done that. No, I think about it.
Blueberry. No.
A blueberry?
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what the drinks are, blueberry pomegranate.
No, it could just be pomegranate.
It can be
anything. It's a drink.
Yeah. Well, that's a good combo.
What about caviar? I've never had caviar.
I've had caviar. It's just salty.
It just looks disgusting. I just don't want to try it.
It's a little, they're black little
it's
eggs,
acquired
right?
Taste.
Yeah. You put it on toast. Anything tastes good on toast or crackers, right? It's fine.
Never had it.
Any other things?
I've never had kale and will never eat kale. Sorry, Dave.
What? You've never tried it when it's been here so much
no,
for Dave?
Nope.
Not
you, remember,
once?
You made the kale cake and I took a bite of it and spit it out.
No the offense. Kale no, cake?
Wow. I did make Dave a kale awful. Cake.
How was it?
I thought it was okay.
How do you make kale cake?
I don't remember, but it was really hard. But I did it for Dave.
Radio, what foods would you give up for the rest of your life to maintain or lose weight? A survey revealed 50% of people would give up pizza or alcohol forever to look great.
No.
Never.
Nope.
Not
could you give up beer
nope.
or pizza?
Nope.
I don't drink beer. There's so many things that, now I'm thinking about. I never give up chocolate. Never. Potato chips. Never. Popcorn. Never. I don't know. I can't think of anything.
Wow. I gave up French fries for Lent 8 years ago, 9 years ago. I haven't had one since.
Oh, wow.
What?
Yep. Cut French fries and potato chips out of my life.
Which French fries do you miss the most?
McDonald's. Greatest French fry on the planet.
Which one do you miss the second most?
I don't know. What is it?
Burger King?
I don't know. I don't really miss.
It's your opinion.
I don't really miss French fries. I
oh,
don't.
Yeah, you do.
I don't.
Yeah, you
just
do.
Think of the salt.
Well, I like to drink beer on the weekend, so everything in life as you get older turns into a numbers game, so you have to cut some certain foods out of your life. So I said goodbye to French fries. No one else has done that?
No.
No.
I find when I cut stuff like that and say never, ever, then usually like 6 months later, I'll just binge and have like a pound of French fries. So I try to just space it out. Like every couple of months, every 6 months, I'll have an order of fries and be like, meh, I don't miss them at all.
I cut out coffee creamer.
Coffee creamer?
Yeah. If I have anything in my coffee, it'll be just milk.
Isn't that the same thing?
I think creamer is a little sweeter.
I think it's in the same family, though.
Yeah, yeah. Sure.
Okay. But Grzanich, what if someone said, if you give up chocolate for the rest of your life, you're going to have a body like Matthew McConaughey?
I'll be like, I don't care. I need my chocolate. Dark
really?
Chocolate. Yep.
You wouldn't do it.
Yeah, wouldn't do it.
You could keep in good shape still with eating these things. Just, you know? Exercise every day.
Right, and I'm past a certain age where I've just given up. I don't really care.
No, you can't do that. Do not give up. That's a bad thing. I mean, chocolate? Vivi, could you give up chocolate? Someone said, okay, you're going to have an unbelievable body for the rest of your life if you just give up chocolate from this point on.
No, I love Nutella. There's no way. I can't do it. I would work out extra hard just to keep the chocolate cravings that I have.
I'm with you, Viv.
And women need chocolate,
women
too.
Women need it. Yes.
They don't need chocolate.
Yes, we do.
What do you need it for? Why do you need chocolate?
I will print out an article for you right now.
Women need chocolate. Come on.
Especially dark chocolate.
I'm not a sweets guy. See, I don't think I've tried it. I can't give up meat. I crave it too much. What happens when you crave a cheeseburger on a Saturday morning?
Okay, I could give up meat in a heartbeat.
No. I mean, I don't eat that much meat, but if I'm thinking about it, I'm going to crave a cheeseburger.
Not me. Well, I rarely eat hamburgers. I could give them up.
How about a turkey burger? How about a steak?
Steak? No, don't eat. I like chicken and fish.
How about chicken? Mary, you give up chicken for the rest of your life. You're
going to
be a beauty queen.
I got to have turkey.
I mean, there's two different diets. We've talked about it all week. There's the plant-based diet, where it's no meat for the rest of your life, or the plant-forward diet, where you're eating more plant-based foods, which is very hip right now, and you do eat meat. Plant-forward.
I like the second one.
Plant-forward. Do you guys eat more plant-based?
Yeah, I would say so.
What does that mean?
I eat more, you know, more greens.
Okay.
Or at least I try to balance my plate. It's colorful.
We have the fake meat in our refrigerator that we haven't made yet. We have to make it this week.
The soy meat?
The Beyond Burger.
It's good.
Never had it.
It's good.
It's good, but the thing about the fake meat is, and I've heard this from a couple of my family members, they expected to go in and see something that had less calories.
Yeah,
and
it's really not.
It's not.
What?
It isn't.
Isn't that the whole point?
Yeah, the Beyond Whopper or the Impossible Whopper has just as many calories as the regular Whopper.
Okay, but that's a Whopper. I mean, you could also just have the patty without all the stuff on it, and it's not going to be bad.
That Whopper looks so good. I need to try it. The Beyond Burger, or what is it called? The Beautiful Burger, whatever
it is. The Impossible Burger.
The Impossible Burger.
I don't know if that's... There's one of them that's not sold yet for... Like, it's sold in restaurants, I think, but not. You can't just buy it at the grocery store.
Burger King, White Castle has the fake meat. I've had those.
It's not fake meat.
Well,
it's just not. It's not meat.
Well, the Beyond Burger comes. It looks like ground beef.
It does.
So there's something wrong there.
You throw it on the grill.
I know, but it's plant based. They make it look like ground beef, but it's not. So it's got to have a ton of chemicals in it. Aren't you defeating the purpose? It seems wrong. Right?
I don't know. I like it.
Do you eat it a lot?
Not a ton.
I got to check the caloric value. So if you know, why not do a turkey burger instead of a Beyond Burger?
I do that a lot.
A chicken burger. You ever do chicken?
Sure.
Eat ground chicken?
I have.
You don't like it. How come?
No, I had actually chicken meatballs last week.
Ooh. Chicken meatballs. Mm-hmm. Homemade or from the store?
From the store with spaghetti squash. We eat a lot of squash.
Jeez, man.
Spaghetti squash and chicken meatballs.
I wouldn't even know where
with
to buy
marinara
Where do you
sauce?
Buy spaghetti squash?
At the Mariano's, wherever you...
Whole Foods.
Jewel.
Yeah. Where do I find it?
In the produce department. It's a big yellow squash.
Okay.
And they'll even cut it for you, because they're hard to cut.
So I grab a yellow squash, and I say, make it into spaghetti.
No. It is a spaghetti squash. That's the variety of squash.
Does it look like
Sounds
spaghetti?
Sounds like a lot of work to me.
It does.
The
It's not easy to make.
Spaghetti squash?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Well, cutting that thing in half.
Oh, just cutting the thing.
Yeah,
but once
thing
you
is,
cut it,
yeah.
it's easy.
Well, no, the spaghetti
it's not
squash
that easy.
Does
My wife
it,
makes it. It's
does
delicious.
It look like spaghetti?
The squash actually the what would you call it? The fruit or the
right?
It's stringy.
Okay.
And it tastes. I
it's
mean,
like
it
pumpkin.
Yeah, kind of
stringy.
Kind of.
Yeah.
But it's really good.
Maybe we should ask Karen how easy this is to prepare.
I caught myself. No, I actually did make it the other night. So do you put the red sauce on it? It tastes like spaghetti?
Kinda.
Okay.
And then throw in some chicken meatballs?
Chicken meatballs. Wow. David, you're on WGN. Go ahead, bud.
Hey, my store sells those plant-based burgers.
Your store? Which store do you go to?
Woodman's out in North Aurora.
Okay. Got it. So,
all right. Thanks, Pete.
All right. Thanks, man.
Well, they have different ones. I mean, the Beyond Burgers, they sell everywhere.
Okay.
Stores. But I thought the Impossible Burger was not yet available in grocery stores. I don't know. I could be wrong.
I thought they were all the same thing. So Beyond Burger.
Those are two different
brands. It bums me out that they have the same amount of calories in a regular burger. So why eat it? It just doesn't make sense to me.
It's not all about calories.
Okay. All right. Dave Ennett brought up spaghetti squash, 708 area code. Put the whole spaghetti squash in the microwave, pierce it a few times so it doesn't explode. That's it. When it's soft, it's done. It's that easy to cut. Spoon out squash and put sauce over it. So it's not in spaghetti form?
Spaghetti form?
Yeah, well, it looks like a piece of spaghetti.
Well, kind of. Yeah, but you have to scoop it out of the squash.
No, it looks like a big melon. It looks like a
football. Squash does.
Yeah, yeah. It looks like a football.
And then you cut it.
Yeah.
Okay. But I want my spaghetti to look like spaghetti.
Yeah, and then
I want the texture.
Once you cut it open, it strings out like spaghetti. The side of it strings out like spaghetti.
Like string cheese. Okay, 630 area code.
No, like spaghetti, not like
spaghetti
cheese.
Spaghetti squash is the best. Very easy. Roast for 20 minutes. String it. Toss in butter, salt, pepper, and touch of nutmeg is my favorite.
There you go.
Who knew? Spaghetti squash. I just wrote it down on my
list. As a matter of fact, you can buy them if you want to cheat. You can buy them at Costco, and they have, you throw them, they're already cut, and you throw them in the microwave.
Spaghetti squash, yep. Toilet paper, and a bottle of, case of water.
List.
Got it. New year, new you, new food. Food trends for 2020 in the upcoming year. Does anybody know what juke is? J-O-O-K. Juke.
Never heard of it.
Mary, you're a cook.
Me?
Yeah.
I'm a baker, not really a cook.
What about a rose? A-R-R-O-Z. A rose. Do you know what that is? These are food trends for 2020.
Is that a grain of some sort?
A rose from the clatter to see what was the matter.
That is Spanish rice, Dave. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah. Oh, good job, Dave.
Juke is a Chinese risotto.
Oh.
And caldo. Caldo. C-A-L-D-O.
Like a cauldron related to?
It's Mexican beef soup.
Okay, then.
Those are your food trends for 2020. Some of the food trends. Saving the planet is the new thing, the food trend for 2020. Plant-based. You're going to hear that a lot. Everybody's doing that.
And you were asking why eat it if it's not saving you calories. See, there are other reasons.
Yeah.
Nutrients.
But if you're balancing your diet and eating in moderation, do you need to go plant-based? Remember the...
if you're going to save the planet.
Remember gluten-free? When was that? 5 years ago? That was very hip. And everybody, I'm gluten-free right now. I'm gluten-free.
Well, some people have to be.
I understand that. But people were just going gluten-free because they thought it was a diet fad. They were doing it to do it.
Right.
Yeah. And now it's plant-based.
It's like the keto.
But keto is high in fat, right?
I think it's... I don't know. I'm not...
You're not a diet guy. You're not doing diets, are you? You're just eating right.
Dave just eats good.
I try to eat healthy.
He does. Red meat? Anybody eating red meat on the show?
Not into it.
Every once in a while.
Okay.
Maybe once a week.
Once a week.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you have for dinner last night?
Last night I had a chicken breast and a little bit of pasta.
Chicken breast and pasta?
Yeah.
What did I have last night? I had sushi.
So did I.
That's fish.
And leftover stuff from New Year's Eve.
I'm doing one of those meal kits, so I get already prepared meals in the mail.
Okay.
And they last through the week, and each one of them are about 600 calories.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, so my daily calorie is about 1,500 to 1,700.
1,500 to 1,700 calories.
Yeah.
I did the Lose It app last January, and I kind of tapered off in March. Maybe it's interesting to put everything you eat into your phone, and you look at it at the end of the week, it's like, wow.
That would not be good for me.
What are you eating? That's not terrible. Good for you.
I eat chips every day in my lunch. I eat chocolate every day.
You're
have to.
Thin as a rail.
Well, I work out every day, too,
okay.
More or less.
You, yeah. you remind me of my sister Mary, who can still get into a prom dress to this day. Could you put on your prom dress or a high school dress?
I think I could, but it probably fit me a lot differently because I have weight in other areas now than I did then. But, yeah.
Okay.
I've put on some bridesmaid dresses that I wore years ago, and they still sort of fit.
I think about a cheeseburger, I gain 3 pounds.
Look at you. You're in great shape.
Because I have to work out.
Well, so do I.
Yeah, nonstop. If I didn't, I'd gain... I can tell when I, especially over the holidays, you're eating and drinking. I gained 5 pounds over the holidays.
I'm also blessed with a good metabolism, I believe.
Shoot.
Yeah, that's going to come to a screeching halt one day.
What?
And I'm going to be there.
If it hasn't yet, man. I mean, I'm old.
Oh,
getting there.
I hate people with fast metabolism.
Yeah. I don't know if
you
it's
can
fast.
Eat anything you want.
It's just my personality. I don't know. I just don't stop.
It's in your, it's your genetics. That's what it comes down to. My dad's weight fluctuated like Elvis Presley. That's my makeup. My mother, always skinny. Had 12 children. She weighs about 110 pounds right now. Yeah. So half the family is Elvis. Half the family is rail thin.
And you're kind of in between.
Well, I work out, so I'm not Elvis Presley. No. Yes. What are the trends for 2020? We'll get to some more of these. The country of the year, the color of the year, drinking trends for 2020 in just a second. But first,
when it comes to the weather, we all want to know, what did Skilling say?
We do.
Watch for updated forecasts from Chicago's most trusted meteorologist, Tom Skilling, weeknights on WGN-TV.
God, that's a lot of energy right there. Happy New Year, buddy. It's good to see
Happy
you.
Happy New Year.
Pete McMurray in the Skyline Studios, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. I am Cuban, and my diet consists of arroz and caldo. We were just talking about food trends for 2020. Juke, which is a Chinese risotto. Arroz is a Spanish rice, and caldo is a Mexican beef soup.
Why don't we get some of this for tomorrow?
God, it sounds wonderful. Some other trends in 2020, edible and biodegradable packaging. So you're ordering food, you can eat the wrapper. Look for that in 2020. Well, think about it. I mean, the big thing was the taco bowl back in the day. You get a taco salad, you could eat the bowl, which was a shell.
Yeah, and they're making one now. I'm making a plastic covering that's made out of a dairy product that once you put water on it, it becomes like a milk kind of thing.
Would you eat that, though?
Yeah, I think I would to save the planet. It would definitely be easier to degrade in the trash if you threw it away, because as soon as it got wet, it would turn to milk and just sort of melt away.
But
I think there's some packaging like made of potato, right?
But then when you feel like they just sit on a shelf, and if you order food, they're going to put the food in it, and it's been sitting there for days. Do you really want to eat that?
But it's like, you know, that stuff that, remember you'd peel that stuff that can't, it's not candy, but like the fruit wraps, the fruit roll ups.
Sure. Yeah.
That's what I imagine it would taste like.
Okay.
Put a little flavoring in there. It's not half bad.
I would eat that if it's not sitting on a shelf in a kitchen somewhere for long periods of time. Edible and biodegradable packaging, reusable everything from cups to utensils. Yeah, that's where we're headed right now. Country of the year, what do you think it is?
Country of the year.
The Olympics.
Oh. Japan.
Japan. 2020 Summer Olympics in Tokyo. There's been a rise in travel to Japan because of that. That is the country of the year for 2020.
I would think New Zealand. Everybody and their mother's going to New Zealand lately.
Too far.
Yeah, but it's just a lot of honeymoon destinations and travel. New Zealand, and yeah, it's all I've heard about lately.
I went to Fiji years ago with my wife on a business trip, and it took forever. I mean, that was a whole day just to get to Fiji. It's like, okay. I'd rather go to Hawaii instead of Fiji.
Well, Japan's a little far, too.
Yeah, it's far. Color of the year?
Color of the year.
Congratulations to blue.
Hey.
That is the color of the year.
What am I wearing today?
I have no idea why it is.
Nice blue shirt?
You are wearing a blue shirt.
Yep.
Cubby blue?
What? Because it's the color of the year.
Do you have a deal with Under Armour? Because I want that deal. You have everything Under Armour. The quarter zips, that's your look.
comfortable.
Blue and indigo are expected to color more food this year, too. So look for blue food this year.
Ew.
Have you heard of aubergine?
Aubergine,
a purple yam. It's the new it root vegetable that is blue.
Purple yam.
Well, it's kind of it's purple and blue.
Yeah. I've seen potato blue potatoes.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. Yeah, yeah, purple potatoes.
I've never seen a purple potato.
I don't like them. They taste a little different.
Do they?
I think. Yeah.
I thought they taste the same.
Where do you get a purple potato?
Some restaurants
Some restaurants. Or you can get them in the potato mixtures once in a while. They sell them at the store.
Drinking trends for 2020. Low and no alcohol drinks are very hip.
White Claw. Mm-hmm. It's still big.
Look for a rise in mood food and calming beverages containing CBD. Yes. The ingredient in, pot-based or hemp, CBD, in the new drink. Would you guys try it?
But that's not THC.
It's not. But would you try it?
Yeah, I would.
Okay.
I mean, I've used some, homeopathic stuff with CBD for... as a sleep aid, sort of thing.
Does it work?
Yeah, I think it does, a little bit.
Does it, calm you down?
Yeah.
Or does it make you hyper?
No, it doesn't make me hyper. Why do I seem hyper?
No, we should try some on the show.
Let's do it. Bring it in. We'll all take a nap in the 8 o'clock hour. Food trends for 2020. Fresh baking flours. Almond flour. So last year, look for alternative flours made from green bananas, sweet potatoes, cauliflower, and watermelon seeds. That is the new trend in flours.
It is big. I've heard about that. In a lot of recipes now, different kinds of flours. I'm like, where do I get those? I guess you just get them. Because I do bake a lot. But
almond flour changes the taste of everything. I wonder if the green bananas would. Is there really a taste of green bananas? Because they're not ripe yet.
It's not that good.
It's more the texture. The green bananas.
Yeah.
So hard.
Yeah.
Sweet potatoes. Take them or leave them. The most horrifying and bizarre fast food menu items for the last decade. Do you remember the Burger King Halloween Whopper?
No.
With the black bun. It's the Whopper with the black bun.
Ew.
You guys didn't try this? It'd
be like eating a burned bun.
The bun tastes exactly the same. It was just black.
Well, that lasted a long time.
No, that went away very quick.
I didn't even hear about it.
Pizza Hut's hot dog crust.
Oh.
The pizza was the same. The crust had hot dogs in the crust. Pizza Hut didn't work. Burger King's mac and Cheetos. Anybody try those? God, that sounds wonderful.
No.
You know how I said I cut out French fries, the last 8, 9, 10 years? My son loves Cheetos, and I don't know what happened, but I've become addicted to the Cheeto again. It started this summer where we had the small bag of Cheetos.
Which one?
All of them.
Every single Cheeto?
We have the jalapeno Cheetos now.
Oh.
We have the cheddar jalapeno Cheetos, because Cheetos are cheese, and now they add cheddar to it and jalapenos. It's wonderful.
So you think that's healthier because there's cheese in it than eating a potato chip?
No, it's just good. I love it.
How about Flamin' Hot?
Flamin' Hot, just as good. I got to cut them out of my diet.
They're very messy.
You know what? Sweet potato chips.
Oh, they're good.
Pretty good.
Never had them.
Yep. Whatever happened to those kale chips? I don't see those very often anymore, Dave.
Buffalo Wild Wings, Mountain Dew wings. Remember the Mountain Dew? It had the Mountain Dew sauce, the lemongrass, ginger, red pepper, and Mountain Dew sauce. That failed miserably. And Burger King's Whopperito, the Whopper in a burrito wrap, that came and went in the last decade.
Gee, I wonder why.
Not good. Steve, you're on WGN. Hi, what's up?
Hi, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
For New Year's resolution, and for actually for the whole decade of 2020, let's make this the decade of the consumer. Okay, so a big business has profited the last 10, 20 years. Let's make this decade the decade of the consumer. And what I mean by that is let's write laws, change laws to make it better and easier for the average Joe. And here's a perfect example. A couple weeks ago, one of your callers called in about a 1% real estate tax cap. Let's enact that 1% real estate tax cap. And then let's also let's come up with something about the public pensions. What are we going to do with those? Let's eliminate them because we cannot afford them. And let's put this up for vote. Let's have some fun.
Wait, Steve, public? Did you say public benches? What did you say?
Public pensions.
Pensions. So okay. All right. Yes, I thought you said, I thought you meant the year of the consumer. I thought you were talking about shopping in a grocery store because we were talking about food. I didn't really understand where that was going. Steve, I think we all agree. Thank you for the phone call. All right. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Any food trends for you guys in 2020? I'm cutting Cheetos out of my life, that's for sure. Today is the first day. Just take it one day at a time.
When's the last time you had Cheetos?
Yesterday, last night, well, the jalapeno with the cheddar. It's so good. When was the last time you had a Cheeto?
I can't remember.
And yeah, if you look at the label, it's not high in fat. I mean, it's not that bad. I'm sure there's tons of sodium.
Yeah, but you got all that Cheeto dust on you.
Oh, it's so good.
Go for the veggie chips. Those are awesome.
I don't even know where to buy those. Where would you get
know what you might like? You know what you might like? It's the stuff called moon cheese. Have you ever seen that?
No.
It's moon cheese?
Yeah, they sell it at Costco.
I could just see Dave in the grocery store, you know.
Oh, I've already told you.
Buy
you
get spaghetti weird squash. Stuff.
I have to go to Costco this week.
Excuse
because
me,
we need
the
paper
moon
products.
Cheese?
Okay.
What is moon check. Cheese?
It's
what
like,
is it?
It's like a hard, it's almost like some sort of a cheese snack, but it's like hard cheese.
Like a cheese stick?
No, it's like little cubes. Little cubes of, like, dried cheese.
And that's good for you?
Like cheese curds?
It's not bad if you look at the label. I mean, it's...
That's one of my resolutions.
If you're going to eat Cheetos, it's certainly no worse.
One of my food resolutions is to dial back the cheese. I'm married to a girl from Wisconsin. We have so many different... We have easily five or six different cheeses in our refrigerator. It's like, you got to dial this back. We got cheese cubes. We got the... You know, the cheddar cheese, we got the mozzarella cheese, we got the Mexican cheese mix. You name it, we have it at our house. Got to cut back on the cheese. Need to do that. Farmer Paxton, how are you, buddy? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Love the show. Hey, I gotta go back to Donovan in the song Electrical Banana. Remember that, where you take the strand off of the banana and you cook it? And it becomes a hallucinogen. I mean, it's way better than marijuana. I mean, but don't tell anybody that because
that
it's
is
cheap and it's easy.
That is an urban legend. Have you tried that?
Yes.
It does not. It does not work. No, it does not. We've all tried that. That was like an 80s thing, wasn't it? Or was that a 70s thing?
70s.
Donovan was the 60s.
Yes, it was the 60s. But I feel like people started talking about it late 70s, early 80s. Smoking the, we used to call them, what was it, the banana strings?
Yeah, you didn't smoke it.
You just eat it?
Yeah. See, you didn't do it. No. But don't tell anyone that.
No, that doesn't work.
It'll be the very next craze.
People eat those things, the little stringy things that come off the banana. People eat those.
No. You have to cook, you have to eat it, and then eat it. You don't.
So let me get this straight. So the little strips, when you peel a banana, you see these little strips, and they come off the banana. You're saying you have to cook them, and then you eat them.
Yes.
And what does it do?
Electrical banana going to be the very next craze. It's a hallucinogen. It is.
I don't believe it. I'm going to try it.
It is. But wait. Don't drive, or you know, I don't want to be hear you on the news.
Thank you, Farmer Paxton. I don't believe it. I don't think it works. No. What's the difference cooking it and eating it raw? Isn't it the same thing? What's it going to do to it if it's cooked?
And then you're supposed to wrap it around a Cheeto, dude.
I love the Cheeto. I'm going to miss it in 2020. Dang it. Got to get this food out of my house. My son's not going to like that. 217, less sugar for 2020. Don't we all try to do that on a regular basis? This is from Michael. Text message, urban myth. Yes, it is. It's an urban myth, that banana thing. Do not believe it. That
but
does not happen.
You're still going to try it.
Well, maybe. Pete, it's all the things that you can't pronounce in Cheetos. That will kill you. Yes, that is true.
But they're so good.
But I said goodbye to them. Last night was my last night. This is it. All right, time for news. And up next, we'll talk to Mark Moses. You remember him from Desperate Housewives, Mad Men. He's got a new series tonight on Fox. Pete McMurray in the Skyline Studios. I watch a series with Stephen Dorff called True Detective on HBO. Any True Detective fans on this show?
Oh, yeah. I love that show.
Season one was with Woody Harrelson. Great. Then Matthew McConaughey. Great season. Season Fantastic. Two, Vince Vaughn. Terrible.
Yep, downhill. Real fast.
In the toilet. Third season, Stephen Dorff and Mahershala Ali. Fantastic.
I'm glad you were the one pronouncing the name.
Mahershala Ali. He won an Academy Award, too. Yes. Stephen Dorff. What else has he been in besides True Detective? I didn't really know him.
Blade.
Which Blade?
The first one. The Ridge. He's the bad guy. Bad vampire.
I don't remember that one.
Yeah, Wesley Snipes takes care of him.
Wesley Snipes. There's a name I haven't heard in a while. But then I'm watching the Bears game on Sunday, and I see a new Fox series called Deputy, and I see our old friend Mark Moses, and they played the trailer.
Sheriff Radford suffered a serious heart attack.
What?
You gotta be kidding me.
I wish we were.
On the phone with us, he's in the new series Deputy, which debuts tonight on Fox. It is Mark Moses. Congratulations. Can you give me a heads up next time?
I can give you a heads up, but I think Fox has been doing a great job giving a heads up. They have a billboard. They call it Godzilla Billboard in 42nd Street that advertises the show, so they are advertising the heck out of it. So it's on tonight at 8 o'clock Central Time.
People remember you from Desperate Housewives. People remember you from Mad Men as Doug. People remember you from Platoon. What's the most, what do they say to you? Do they say Mad Men, Desperate Housewives? What do you get most of all?
I think it depends on the age and the person. If they're French, it's Desperate Housewives for sure. So you find out who watches what. If they're barristers in New York, it's Mad Men. Mm-hmm. So if it's a bunch of guys my age, it's Platoon. So it just depends, you know, what era I was acting in.
Right.
But we're very excited about this show tonight. It's funny, I was thinking about this today. You make a show in the spring in Atlanta, and it debuts in January. You know, in Chicago and New York and all over the country. And we're shooting our 10th episode right now. So that's how far along we've gotten on this process. But we're excited about it. It's been a long ride. And as you were talking about Stephen, one of his first films was a movie called The Power of One.
The Power
about
of
apartheid.
One.
I don't know, yes, he's been acting since he's been a kid.
Wow!
So he's been around. He does a terrific job on our show, and as you know, he did a great job in True Detective. So we've got a really good cast, and we'll see what happens. You know, you never know.
So you watched True Detective on HBO with Stephen Dorff?
I did watch that. It was good.
Man,
very good.
He is such a great actor. I have to say, I don't really remember him in anything else besides that.
Well, he's done some big films, as you mentioned, Blade and Power of One, and he's done a lot of independent films over his career. He's had an interesting career, but, you know, the True Detective, I think, really launched him into, this show.
Okay.
So there's a lot on his shoulders, and he does a great job on it. So that's all great. That's fine. It's good.
Mark, Deputy tonight on Fox. This series focuses on the L.A. Sheriff's Department, right?
That is correct, which is it's interesting to hear about the L.A. Sheriff's Department because it's kind of an independent entity. The actual sheriff is a very powerful figure in Los Angeles and across the country. It's, I think, the second largest law enforcement group in the country after New York, the New York Police Department. So it is kind of interesting, and he's plucked out of there, and all of a sudden he's handed the keys to the kingdom. Which is what our show's about. All of a sudden, it's like, hey, you want to be boss? Be careful what you wish for. And that's what happens in our show.
Do you play the heavy? Because you play such a great bad guy, but in real life, you're such a nice guy. But you're always playing bad guys.
You know, that happened after Desperate Housewives. Before that, I kind of played charming, funny guys. And then after Desperate Housewives, it's been a series of bad guys. Maybe it says something about my life. I'm not sure.
That's a rough one. I'm going to have you hold on. We're going to talk more, okay? And it debuts tonight. What time, Chicago time, is it 7, 8 o'clock?
I think it's 8 p.m. Central Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and who knows what time out in the West Coast.
Okay, but it's 8 p.m. Chicago time. I'm going to have you hold on the line, okay? Are you walking down the street of New York? What are you doing right now?
I'm walking through Central Park on my way to the dentist, so I'm not walking very quickly.
More with Mark Moses in just a second. Tonight on Fox at 8 p.m., a show is called Deputy that stars the former star quarterback at Evanston High School. It is Mark Moses, and he's on the phone with us now. Yeah. You get back here a lot, don't you?
I try to. You know, you try to avoid February in Chicago as best you can. But I love to get back and see the Cubs or the White Sox or maybe any team in Chicago that has a winning record, which is far and few between these days. But we could talk about that. But I wanted to mention as well that I'm in a film called Bombshell, which is out of theaters right now. And it's a terrific film with Charlize Theron and Nicole Kidman and Margot Robbie.
What?
And, yeah. It's a really terrific film about Fox News and all the issues that happened with Roger Ailes.
Right.
So so get out there and check that out. It's still in theaters, and I think it's up for some awards. So that's all groovy. Before we even talk about the Bears or any other sports teams in Chicago, you know, I recently heard that Ryan Pace said we're all in with Trubisky in 2020.
Yes.
And I thought to myself, that's like me sitting at a Texas Hold'em table with three chips. And everybody else has won hundreds of chips, and I push those three chips forward, and I say, I'm all in.
As a former quarterback at Evanston High School, how is Mitch Trubisky's accuracy?
You know, I think he's a very good athlete. I think that there's been so much written about him. He obviously has a lot of pressure on his shoulders. I just think he has to read his routes better. As you see some of the other quarterbacks, they always compare him to McCoomies. But, you know, maybe that's not fair. But it's also not fair to fire all your assistant coaches and blame them for the plays that you're calling as head coach. So,
yeah.
So who knows? Who knows where it's going to go? But I think they obviously gave away too much to get him. They could have got him without trading their draft picks away. But it is what it is now, and hopefully the Bears can rally and come back next year with a better team, and hopefully Mitch Trubisky learns from his last 3 years. So there we go.
We all hope you're right. We're talking with actor Mark Moses. He'll be on Deputy tonight at 8 o'clock on Fox. How come we haven't seen you on Chicago Fire or Chicago PD?
Dick Wolf doesn't like me. No, that's not true. Dick Wolf, I've been on many Dick Wolf shows in New York City. It just, you know, for whatever reason, hasn't worked out, or I've been busy, which could be the case. But,
right.
I'm very happy that Chicago has some production opportunities there, because it's a great city to shoot in, and outside of standing outside and doing scenes in really, really cold weather, it's a wonderful place to shoot. Great places, architecture, beautiful city. So,
Mark, isn't it interesting how TV has changed? I mean, I'm watching Netflix right now. I'm watching Amazon Prime. Of course, I'll DVR your show tonight, Deputy, on Fox. But, I mean, there's so many different outlets now for these actors and actresses, especially with Amazon Prime is making a name for himself with itself with all these great series.
Well, there's great series and films being done. I read an article this morning about Scorsese and how he wanted, you know, not really to have something that was streaming, but he really had no choice in making The Irishman. But there are many, many outlets for people to watch whatever they wish to watch. And in this case, this is network television, which functions differently than, say, cable television.
Right.
Regardless of what reviews we get, there will be an audience for our show. Whereas if you have a small cable show, you've got to have these great reviews to gather, you know, a million people to watch it. And maybe it stays on or maybe it doesn't. But so we have many more choices in what we wish to view these days. And that's actually great for everybody.
Amazon Prime, I'm watching two great series right now. Jack Ryan with John Krasinski from The Office and Goliath with Billy Bob Thornton. He plays just a messed up lawyer. He is so good in this role. Have you ever worked with him before?
I have not worked with Billy Bob Thornton. He's been around, I mean, I've seen him forever. He's a terrific actor. I've met him on occasion. Funny guy, but great actor. And as you say, you're watching those two, and I'm watching Peaky Blinders and The Watchmen.
Right.
So, you know, there's so many choices out there to watch, and you know, when you stream it, though, you don't get to stand around the water cooler or the area, you know, where you get a cup of coffee in the morning and talk about the show that week.
Right,
You know, you talk to someone, they go, you know, I just watched two episodes of Peaky Blinders, and they go, I've seen the whole thing. Let me tell you about the end. You go, stop, you know. But when it's weekly, sort of like Game of Thrones, you sort of gather around, and I think networks are going back and forth as to which way is the best way to telecast shows, you know, whether it's once a week or stream them all. So who knows?
You mentioned Scorsese. Did you watch The Irishman on Netflix?
I did. I think I watched that at the movie theater,
okay,
which was really kind of great way to watch it. But yes, I did get to see that, and you got to see Robert De Niro with blue contact lenses playing an Irishman. Who would have thought?
Well,
right? Who would have thought?
Here's my question for you: who was the standout role? Yeah. You as an actor, because I saw the movie. I had to watch it in three different sittings on Netflix because the last 30 minutes they could have cut out of the movie. But the standout role, who was the standout for you?
I thought Joe Pesci.
Joe Pesci should be nominated.
Yes, he was terrific, and it may be unfair because he was the only Italian playing an Italian. The other Italians had to play German, Irish, and Irish. And when you have scenes between De Niro and Pacino complaining about the WAP, you know, it's kind of hard to believe.
That is so true. Oh, my gosh. I didn't even think about that.
It's great to see these actors act. I mean, they're obviously phenomenal actors, but it is kind of hard to see De Niro play an Irishman.
Right. And you're a huge Cub fan. We went to a few games last summer. Are you coming in to see the Cubs on opening day? When are you going to be back here?
Boy, I sure hope so. I had opening day tickets about 2 years ago, and it snowed. So this year, who knows? Let's hope it doesn't snow. We're looking forward to an exciting year. I don't know what moves the Cubs are going to make or who's going to be back, but terrific team and always fun to go to Wrigley Field to the friendly confines. So hopefully we'll get a game in, Pete.
I love it. I would love it. Deputy tonight on Fox at 8 o'clock, and of course, Bombshell in theaters. That was one of the top movies last weekend, wasn't it?
I think so. I'm not sure box office wise, but okay. It was a lot of fun to do, and got to meet Margot Robbie, and
of course,
got to meet all the ladies actually, and she's terrific in the film. So maybe she'll win something this year. Who knows? Both her and Charlize and Nicole are all great in it. So
I love it.
Good film. Go see that, and then tune into Deputy tonight. See if you like it. It's going to be action packed. I can tell you that. Our director David Ayers. I don't know if you know who he is, but he wrote Training Day. And he directed End of Watch, and he also directed Fury with Brad Pitt. He is a great action director. So this show tonight is full of car crashes and chases and all sorts of exciting stuff. So,
and you're packing heat. I like that.
And we're all packing heat.
I like
absolutely.
It. Mark Moses. Thank you, Moses. We'll talk soon.
Take care. Happy New Year.
All right. Happy New Year to you. All right. News is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom at 720 WGN. All right. Thanks again to Mark Moses. Tonight, Deputy, 8 o'clock on Fox. He is the heavy now. He plays the mean guy after Desperate Housewives. If you remember, he played Paul Young, the creepy husband. I forgot about Homeland. Just got a text message. Yeah, he was in Homeland, he was the ambassador's husband who was the spy that turned against Mandy Patinkin. Anybody else watching Homeland besides me? Do I watch too much TV?
No, I'm a big fan of Homeland, but I'm just way behind.
What season are you on? If you're not past season two, we can't even talk about it.
Oh, I'm past season two.
Okay. Yeah. Right.
But I think I'm somewhere in... How many seasons have there been?
Five, maybe?
Yeah, I think I'm still in season three.
That's too many to start watching it, right? Once it gets past like four seasons, I won't start watching it.
It seems a little overwhelming.
Yeah, it's overwhelming.
Game of Thrones, people are like, you can catch up.
Nope,
like,
I'm not doing it.
I can't do seven or eight seasons with dragons and the stuff and the deal.
Torture and the incest. No, thanks.
No.
So basically, you guys are not getting into any of the good series? Because I would think that anything that gets beyond three series is actually worth watching, right?
I watched all of Mad Men. That really is
a good point.
Mad Men was fantastic, and I watched the whole thing.
Yeah, but sometimes you just lose track. I mean,
you lose the time to watch it. And
You're right.
You fall behind, and then it's like Mary says, now it's too late to go back.
Yeah. You have to read a book once in a while.
I'm telling you, Goliath, oh, that's another thing, another resolution.
I'm so behind. I'm in a book club. I haven't started the book yet, and I have to read it in a week.
I know we have
pressure.
I have a book sitting on my nightstand that I need to start reading. It's Bruce Springsteen's autobiography, and I know I brought it up the other day, but it's the size of the Bible.
Yeah.
It just seems so overwhelming, and I know his life story because I've been a fan for years, but yes, I need to start reading.
Yeah, you should enjoy that, though, not look as a burden.
It's like a homework assignment.
I kind of am because I'm in this book club.
I'm telling you, if you have Amazon Prime, Goliath with Billy Bob Thornton is such a great show. He plays this degenerate attorney that takes this big case, and he takes on, you know, the big firm that he founded, and he's just a train wreck. No one has any interest whatsoever. You guys crack me up.
I mean, I love Bill.
I know.
By the way,
he has the body of a fifth grader. That guy, he must weigh maybe 130 pounds at the most.
He's really skinny.
I can't believe it.
I don't know. That just doesn't interest me. Sorry, Pete.
I like the other one that you said you're watching, the Jack Ryan one.
Yeah, Jack Ryan.
I started watching the Jack Ryan one.
It's great.
I know, but I just never continued, and now I'm too far behind, so that's another one. That's
John Krasinski, right? Is that how you pronounce
him.
His name?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, from The Office.
Yeah, he's awesome.
He's Jack Ryan. He's good. CIA agent. Dave, you'd like that series. You don't have time for that.
I just don't have time.
Yeah, you just don't have time. It's all about time. Maybe that's your New Year's resolution. Make time, Dave.
To watch more TV?
As my mother would say...
Doesn't sound like a good resolution.
Yeah, doesn't sound productive.
As my mother would say, honey, all we have is time. Which is true. You make time.
Yeah, if you don't
for
sleep.
For things that are important. Right.
That's right.
Definitely.
Man.
Coming up, we'll talk with Dean in just a second. But first, time for news. Let's bring in Dean Richards, fresh off his New Year's Eve appearance. Did you get enough sleep? How you doing? Happy New Year.
Oh, we're doing fine. We're trying to resolve a problem for Annabelle Aval, who is my co-host, as you know.
Right.
On New Year's. We are trying to solve your problem.
You're telling me how awful it's going to be.
Creating problems.
We're trying
creating
to.
Problems.
She has to go get her emission test today, and we're telling her that she better set aside 7 or 8 hours.
Oh, easily. I went,
And then we found out her check engine light is on, which is...
You're going to get rejected.
You get rejected.
That is the worst thing in
Chicago.
Yeah,
you got to go get your check engine light fixed first. These are the things we're dealing with for 2020. A lot of people are dealing with, jobs, careers, you know, things like that. Right now, we're interested in the check engine light.
Yep.
And the
emissions test. I headed up north. There's a place up north that didn't have too long of a line. I can't remember if it was Evanston or Skokie.
Where'd you say it's easy to get the test?
It's Skokie.
Skokie. That's where I went.
That's what Pete just said.
If you don't pass your emissions test, you can't renew your license either.
You can't?
No, you're a license plate. You can't renew your plate.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Oh. That happened to me.
Your plate needs to be updated, too?
Yeah.
If you fail the emissions
test. Is your plate okay?
Joe, you have a comment?
How's your plate, baby?
Dean, is Anna pitching an around town segment at the DMV?
Super Joe thinks you should do an around town segment while you're waiting in line.
I should.
On getting your emission test.
That is ratings right there. Ratings gold.
Yeah. See, we're getting problem solved here today.
The check engine light
is one segment.
Yeah.
When you pull up to the emissions test, first they wave you in. Don't get out of your car. Hold it right there.
Right.
Please turn off your car. Yeah. Let me write this down. How many miles on your car? Okay. All right. Please start your car.
Do you clean up your car before you go for the emissions test?
I do. Absolutely.
Yeah. Like a homeless car today.
Anna knows we're on the air, right?
Anna set her heart. Carl's like a homeless car.
And I thought I was going
to
be judged.
I always do, too. I was like, I wanted to look nice when the guy goes in the car.
Is this what it was? Is this ratings gold on New Year's Eve? Is this what happened?
This was the same, similar behind the scenes chatter on our big New Year's Eve special.
Mm-hmm.
Only in much nicer clothes. Not that Anna doesn't look lovely today. But,
of course.
But New Year's Eve night, Tuesday night, she was killing it. She looked amazing.
Really? Any highlights? I have it on DVR.
Anna lifted her legs up during one of the...
Leg?
Yeah.
You said lift her legs up like I went spread eagle.
No, I didn't say that. We were sitting and talking in some chairs, and she's extremely flexible.
Oh, wow.
Anna is extremely flexible.
Okay.
She's been working out. She does the yoga.
The hot yoga.
She does the hot yoga.
Of course she does.
And it was pretty hot that night. I know that.
Doesn't she go back to the homeland during the holidays?
She was already back at the homeland.
Okay.
You're making it sound like she went to Ukraine. She goes home to visit her parents in Puerto Rico for Christmas.
Yeah, she leaves for about 2 weeks. I didn't realize. Well, she came back.
She came back because she didn't want to miss 1 minute of this big New Year's spectacular that we did.
Okay. Well, tell her.
We looked really nice. And did you see the fireworks? Did you see any video of the fireworks on the river?
I did not. Dave did.
I did. I was watching your show, Dean.
Spectacular.
And I mean, it looked unbelievable.
Wow, those fireworks up and down the river. It started at about Columbus and went west down to Franklin. They had five different stations where they were shooting off fireworks on the river all at the same time. And it was one of the most beautiful fireworks shows that I've seen in Chicago ever. Seriously, it was really nice.
Were some of those camera shots from up here? Because it kind of looked
that
way.
Yes, they were.
Yeah.
One of our camera stations was up at the radio station on Wacker Drive. We had SkyCam 9 was up. The helicopter was up. But we had cameras stationed all up and down Wacker Drive so we could get some great views of it. And it looked beautiful. I know we were stationed at the Big Bar in the Hyatt Regency,
sure,
which was very, very nice. You know, it's all glass.
Yeah.
So we could see right outside. And it was like the illumination from the vantage point where we were was amazing.
They didn't make you stand outside. They put you in the bar?
Yeah.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah, there's no reason to be outside. It was cold.
I understand that, but I thought at midnight that was the whole deal. You do the countdown, and then you walk inside.
No, we had cameras to be outside.
Coming up with Dean Richards, we have some Kathy Griffin news, Post Malone news, and Mariah Carey breaks a record. We're talking with Dean Richards from WGN-TV. Dean, during commercials, I'm not kidding, we probably received about 10 text messages about Anna.
Oh, Anna's emissions.
Yes, tell
issue.
Her.
Wait, that sounds wrong.
According to according to these text messages, if she has a check engine light, she can go to a mechanic. They can reset it, and then she can go get her emissions test and get it taken care of after the fact.
People are texting.
Yes,
I'm like translating.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
People are saying that you have to get your check engine light fixed first before you go to emissions.
I'm going to Zapita Auto Works.
Oh, good.
Zapita
Auto Works.
Plug
for Zapita.
Look at that.
My boys.
Complimentary check engine light fix.
Mm-hmm. Entertainment news.
Yes, sir.
This first story is very disturbing.
Yes.
Whitney Houston passed away. Her daughter passed away.
Right. Whitney died 8 years ago.
Okay.
Drug-related death.
Right.
About 5 years ago, Bobby Christina Brown, her daughter, died drug-related death. Also found in a bathtub.
Both in the bathtub.
She didn't die immediately. She lingered in a coma for about a month. But the person who was found legally responsible for Bobby Christina's death was her boyfriend, Nick Gordon. And yesterday, he was found dead. Had several heart attacks, was pronounced dead, apparent drug overdose, according to many of the reports. So that whole cycle, it's just so sad and so senseless. The whole thing is, just a terrible story. People said from the get-go that, they didn't want him around Bobby Christina.
Right.
Bobby Christina, especially after her mother died, said, I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm a grown woman. And, now this is how that whole story ends.
Jeez, bad.
Terrible. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Kathy Griffin, good news for her.
Yeah, it is good news for Kathy Griffin. She was, made headlines when she used to co-host the New Year's coverage with Anderson Cooper on CNN.
Mm-hmm.
And then she didn't. But this past New Year's Eve, she made headlines by tweeting right before the stroke of midnight that she was about to get engaged. And then right after the stroke of midnight, she tweets, "We just got married." So she got married on New Year's Eve to her longtime boyfriend, whose name is Richard Bick.
Okay.
And officiating the ceremony, the legendary Lily Tomlin.
Lily Tomlin is an ordained minister.
Apparently, yeah.
Who knew? Wow.
It was very nice. The video, they put the video up on the Instagram because, you know, why wouldn't you? You know, every life moment that you have needs to be recorded and put on social media so you can validate your life. The video actually is very sweet, and Lily Tomlin was funny and thoughtful and touching and all that. And Kathy Griffin, 59 years old, is now a married woman.
The pride of Oak Park River Forest High School.
Correct. Mm-hmm. That is very correct.
Yes. Post Malone.
Post Malone. Are you familiar with...
I love Post Malone. My son got me started on Post Malone a few years ago. I've seen him in interviews. He's such a likable person.
He is, and I like his music quite a bit. But when you see him, you go, what did you do to yourself?
I don't get it.
He is covered in tattoos.
I don't get it, Dean.
But face tattoos. He's got like tattoos all over his forehead and his neck and his cheeks and just everywhere. His face is covered with tattoos. Personal choice. He's going to have to live with that one as he gets older.
Mm-hmm.
But for New Year's Eve, he went out and got another tattoo. This one, there are pictures of this on the web if you want to see. It's beautiful. It's a medieval gauntlet.
I saw it.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's like right sort of where your sideburn would be.
Yeah.
Adding to it all. And he says that 2020 is going to be next level.
I don't understand that. Why would you put a tattoo that size on your cheek?
Oh, my gosh. I just saw it.
It's terrible.
It's a big arm in armor.
Yeah.
Ew.
On the side of your face.
Don't you just want to take a washcloth and scrub his face with soap and see what happens?
Spit on the washcloth our parents would do.
When you wash your face when you have that many tattoos, how do you know it's clean?
That's a great question.
I do not.
Clear silk.
At least when you get zits, you know, they're covered up.
This is Grumpy Uncle Dean. I don't entirely get the whole tattoo craze,
mm-hmm.
but it's a personal choice. You know, people like it, you know, and find it very artistic and beautiful.
Right,
and
it has meaning.
Just not for me at all. But the face tattoos, I don't get that at all.
Yeah, oof.
Are you kids with your face tattoos?
How many times have you heard a person say, I regret getting that tattoo 20 years ago. I'm going to get it lasered off.
You do hear that.
Yeah, a lot.
Not going to be fun getting it lasered off your face.
Off your face. Why didn't you just grow a mutton chop, a big sideburn, instead of that thing?
Exactly. That's what handlebar mustaches are for.
Mariah Carey.
Who
is now a record holder.
She has many records already, but she broke a new record as of January 1st. You know, the number one song in America right now is her song, All I Want for Christmas Is You. I went to the number one spot. So it became the first number one song of 2020, of a new decade.
Okay.
So she now is the only artist to have had number one songs in the 90s, in the 2000s, in the 2010s, and now in the 2020s, four different decades. She's had songs like One Sweet Day and We Belong Together and Vision of Love and Hero Comes Along.
Mm-hmm.
Love Takes Time. The list goes on and on and on. Artists who have only had a number one songs in three decades, Michael Jackson, Janet Jackson, Madonna, Elton John, Stevie Wonder, Christina Aguilera, Britney Spears, and Usher. So she has surpassed some pretty enormously legendary names.
Am I missing the boat on Mariah Carey? I just don't understand it. I can't name any of her songs outside of All I Want for Christmas.
I'll bet if you heard them, you could.
Yeah, but has anyone ever said, oh, Mariah Carey's my favorite artist of all time?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely. Younger people than you and me, but...
Is she a diva?
I do like her songs.
Is she a diva? Have you interviewed her?
I have interviewed her many times.
Okay.
She's, I wouldn't call her diva.
Guarded?
She operates on her own level.
All right. I don't know. I just don't get it.
Take that any way you would like. No, she's pleasant enough. I've never had any bad experiences with her. She's, you know, always very nice. And actually, she's kind of chatty and, you know, probably, I'm sure that if I were her press people, her PR people, I would tell her, reel it back a little bit. You're saying too much to these dopes.
Really?
She likes to spill stuff. She likes to talk. You know, so, but her music, I do like her music. I love her voice.
Okay.
It's got like a 4-octave range or something like that. I mean, she's got an amazing voice. So, yeah, I have no problems whatsoever with Mariah's music. I just find it very interesting. Here's an artist that is topping Michael Jackson,
right?
Elton John, Janet Jackson, Madonna, you know, like names that have been around for Stevie Wonder. I mean, people have been making music forever. You know, she tops them all.
I wonder how much money she's made off of All I Want for Christmas.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
Is this Mariah?
You know this song.
I don't really know this song. Can you fast forward to the chorus? Can you give me the chorus? All right. All right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know. I do know this song. But if I heard the beginning, I couldn't say, wow, that's that one song by Mariah Carey.
Yo, just let your head bob, dude.
Because you're 100 years old.
I mean, you hear people say, oh,
with your hibbity-jibbity music.
When you ask people, who's your favorite artist? Ah, the Rolling Stones, Bruce Springsteen, I love Led Zeppelin.
There's a lot of people who would instantly tell you Mariah Carey is their favorite artist.
But All I Want for Christmas, I mean, how much money just on that song alone has she made?
Don't know.
I mean, that's something that we should look up because I feel like, yeah, millions every single year. I feel like it's in the top three.
Yeah. Every year, all kinds of new Christmas songs, holiday songs come out. And very rarely does one catch on the way this one does. That becomes a new Christmas classic. I can't think of another new holiday song that has stuck the way that that this one has. I mean, you know, Paul McCartney, this is a long time ago, his Wonderful Christmas Time.
Sure.
That came along and became a classic.
Yeah, great song.
Elton John, Step Into Christmas, Do They Know It's Christmas Time? But really, those songs, aren't those all from the 80s?
Yeah.
It's been a long time since like a new holiday song has come along and become a classic.
So how old is this song, All I Want for Christmas?
1994.
I mean, think about that, and it's number one right now.
Number one right now. Yep.
That's crazy.
Yep.
Man. And finally, the Schoolhouse Rock person passed away.
Yeah, this is a sad story. It's the death of this guy who is just a classic jazz musician. He's like very well known in the jazz world. His name is Jack Sheldon. He was the band leader on the Merv Griffin Show, among many other like legit music gigs that he had. He is best known for being the voice on the Schoolhouse Rock classic I'm Just a Bill.
Oh, sure.
And Conjunction Junction.
Yeah, Conjunction Junction.
He was the great voice tune of those two songs.
Wow. By the way, this was just handed to me, Dean. Record-breaking $60 million Mariah Carey has made for All I Want for Christmas Is You.
That's a nice Christmas gift.
$60 million. Is that this year? $60 million? No, all together. Is that right, Super Joe?
Yeah, I would think that that's up to that point.
25 years old, has already made more than $60 million in royalties. Wow, that's a nice little check to get every single year.
Not bad. You can buy some nice Chia Pets with that kind of money.
It's number one. Wow. 1.7 million views on YouTube last week alone.
Well, she just cut a new video for it. The original video that came out in 94 was just kind of a compilation of pictures and like little video things. But this year, I think this is really what catapulted to number one, is that she went and cut a brand new video that was like a huge, big, you know, song and dance production. So people wanted to check out the new version of it. It's same song. They just wanted to see the new video for it all.
Guinness World Book of Records announced today that Evergreen Song is the best charting holiday single by a solo artist, the most streamed track on Spotify in a day, and the Christmas song with the most weeks on the singles chart. She is making bank. Recorded this in 94.
Yep.
Wow, good for her.
What is the date when we can stop talking about Christmas?
Today.
Stuff?
That's it. No more.
Is today the day?
Today's the day. Tomorrow's a big day because movies come out.
Well, you know, there are actually no new movies opening tomorrow.
That's it.
Right. I may have to go back to my favorite people I talked to in 1999. 2019, I mean.
No, let's go back to 1999.
You know what? That's what it is, ladies and gentlemen. When you see all these lists of, you know, here are the people that died in 2019. Here's this in 2019. Here are the top that in 2019. It's because there's nothing else going on right now.
We got nothing.
The entertainment world and most of the just everything is shut down. So that's why you're seeing all these lists right now. That's why I've been doing here are
around town from the emissions test.
That's why we're doing an around town and seeing Anna's emissions.
Love it. Oh, look at it. Oh, Mariah. We'll leave you with Mariah, Dean. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Be my baby.
Oh, there it is. Thank you, Dean. That is Dean Richards, everybody, from WGN. It's all anybody's been talking about in the state of Illinois. Let's bring in the man that's been covering it for ABC News and WGN Radio. It is Ryan Burrow. Are you tired of hearing about the pot?
I don't know what all of a sudden I became the pot expert at the radio station. It's a little concerning to have that that title hung on me.
We talked about it yesterday. John Williams, who's going to be in a second, we'll talk to him right before his show. He was out there yesterday on with me, and you kind of get caught up in it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's, hype. You know, it's interesting. I remember covering, you know, the Apple iPhone when it first came out and the long line snaking around the building and asking people, are you going to use your iPhone? Are you going to sell your iPhone? What time did you get in line for this iPhone?
Right.
Those have kind of faded away. And then it's the sneaker guys, right?
So yeah.
Sneaker heads with the new Jordan shoes. Now it's the potheads, right? Who are lined up outside. It was incredible yesterday. I went to New Med, which is on North Avenue. It's like right where North Avenue meets the Kennedy over by that Home Depot over
by Elston.
Yeah, line was snaked around the building. It continued to be that way for hours and hours and hours. It's a small building where the sales actually happen, so it's not like Walmart where you can go and kind of shop around. There are obviously limits as to how many people they can have in there. So you would go up, they'd give you an iPad if you were in line, and you would type in your name and cell phone number, and then they would text you when it was your time to enter the store. They actually had like a warming area across the street that you could hang at until your appointment time came up. And in that time, it's my understanding, at least talking to some of the people, you could talk to some of the employees, find a little bit about the marijuana that you would be purchasing. Maybe you're not familiar with it. It almost sounded kind of like a wine tasting. Maybe not with the tasting, but
that's
like,
what it sounded like yesterday.
You'd be more into edibles. You'd be more into THC oils. You know what? Maybe
try
you should
a
get
gummy.
A joint, or we'll talk about flowers. Or something like that. So, yeah.
We talked to John Williams was at Sunnyside, which is right next to Wrigley.
Which was insane yesterday.
Crazy. Hundreds of people. We had somebody call us from Andersonville. He said there was 400 people in line. I go, what?
There were people at New Med that said that they had come from there. They drove by there and realized, forget that. They may be out of supply by the time I get through. So they went over to New Med. What was interesting, too, is at New Med, where I was at, all of the people were getting dropped off by Ubers. It was like a line of Ubers dropping people off for their pot sales, which was interesting.
It's going to generate between $400 and $600 million in tax revenue for the state.
Ka-ching, ka-ching.
Where
right?
does that money go? Where's it going?
We've got a lot of things we need to pay for in this state, right?
I understand.
I mean,
right.
As well with the sports gambling, I mean, you're just trying to open up new avenues for generating
for
money.
I get it.
I mean, this state is so deep in debt, and a lot of this is going to be going to those kind of things.
And you don't have to smoke. You can do the edibles. You know, you got the gummies, you got the chocolate, you got just about everything.
Yeah. Talking to some people, you've got a lot of bros who knew exactly what they wanted going in. They could tell you exactly the style they wanted and everything like that. You had some people in line. I talked to a combat veteran who said that he has never been prescribed medicinal marijuana before, but he's had a hard time sleeping. He's got a lot of pain, and this gives him an opportunity to go in and buy something and see if
I hear that a lot from a lot of people.
This can help him.
Yep.
I saw quite a few people who were maybe in their 60s in there, and you know, you got to be kind of careful when you go up. A lot of people don't want to talk to the media about their marijuana purchases, but you know, you don't know if these were people who were looking it for pain reasons. Maybe they were just interested in using for the first time, or maybe they haven't used in decades and wanted to get back into the game.
Do people want to admit that they smoke pot? Because yesterday I said, how many people had a beer yesterday? And, you know, we went around the show and a few people said, yeah, I had a beer yesterday. How many people went and bought pot or smoked pot yesterday? No one said anything.
There's definitely...
It's still taboo, even though it's legalized.
Well, I mean, you've got a son, too. I mean, how do you talk about this moving forward? Because I was always told no drugs.
Right.
Right? I mean, I took DARE classes, right? DARE to keep kids off drugs. I mean, that was the thing.
Sure.
And now...
Officer friendly.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. And now you've got this new conversation that you have to have. You know, why is it okay for daddy to sit back and drink a couple beers while watching the Bears game, but why would it be an issue, you know, to grab some gummies or something like that? It's an interesting conversation that 5 years down the road is going to be completely different than the way we think about it now.
And the national smoking age went up to 21 yesterday, right?
It did. Now, we were already doing that here in Illinois. We were already at 21. There were numerous others, I think over 20 states that were already there. But when you've got states like Wisconsin and Indiana that were still at 18, here's the deal. President Trump signed this, authorized 21 as the new age. And the thought was this process would take 9 months. And then beyond that 9 months, there was going to be a 90-day grace period. But all of a sudden, the FDA dropped on its website that it's effective immediately. So you've got all of these convenience store owners in Indiana and Wisconsin saying, well, wait a minute here. This kid who bought 19-year-old who came in and bought cigarettes last week, I can't sell them to him anymore.
Right.
Is there a process? So they're kind of freaking out a little bit and have to turn some people away because they just don't understand what the new rules are and how and when they need to comply.
You don't think about that, but they're losing revenue.
Yeah. Yes, they are. Right. Remember, that was a concern here, and one of the reasons Governor Rauner didn't want to up the age here when he was in office was, now you're going to have all these 18-year-olds going to Indiana to buy their cigarettes. But, I mean, there's also a health factor there, too.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
It's like, we don't want to lose the tax revenue because 18-year-olds are going to be smoking.
Cook County is looking at taxing marijuana sales at 3%. On top of that, a 3% levy by Chicago and possible 20 to 30% by the state. There's a lot of taxes on the pot.
Ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching.
Yeah.
Right?
A lot.
Yeah.
You get dinged by the city, you get dinged by the county and the state. So you got three different dings.
Yet it didn't seem like any of those people who were standing in line yesterday were very concerned about the taxes.
Okay.
So, you know, and I did talk to people, by the way, who were in line, who were from Wisconsin. They told me that they were going to use here in Illinois, but they weren't, because I can tell you, our friends with the Kenosha County Sheriff's Department are just pretty much standing at the border right now. I mean, think July 3rd at the Indiana border with the fireworks, right? I mean,
right.
Now you've got all of these police departments, Porter County,
wow.
Lake County, Indiana, Kenosha, Racine, all of a sudden like, hey, you just so you guys know, you buy that in Illinois, you know, these guys come down, you know, from Racine. Scene, go
you're
down to Mundelein, head back up there. Rules in Wisconsin still apply. Rules in Indiana still apply.
Good to know. Ryan Burrow, it's good to see you. Thanks for coming in, brother.
Yep.
312-981-7200. If you get this question correct, we will set you up with a family four-pack of passes to the Lake Home and Cabin Show. Remember, it happens. Excuse me.
You okay over there?
Remember, it happens January 10th through the 12th at Schaumburg Convention Center. That is the Lake Home and Cabin Show. It's Chicagoland's only show specializing in vacation homes and the second home lifestyle. Details at lakehomeandcabinshow.com. Here is the question. If you're making a New Year's resolution or you made a New Year's resolution, what is the day that you blow it? What is the day or the month that you blow it? Did we all make resolutions around here?
We set fitness goals.
All right. What are they? What do you got?
Flexibility, balance.
You're going to blow it. You're going to blow it on this certain day or in the month.
No, I don't think so.
You're too good, man.
No, it's not a matter of that. You just have to stick to it.
312-981-7200. What is the day that you blow your New Year's resolution? Mary, do you have any resolutions? Do you do that?
Nope.
That way you can't blow them.
I have a few, but I they're usually just how to better myself personally type of thing. I mean,
like
it's never diet or any. Well, I'm not going to say.
Mary can't better herself.
Yeah,
she's
no,
the best already.
No, there's a lot of my personality I could change.
Try to have a better, more positive attitude.
I have read a book.
It's really hard for me.
Read a book once a quarter, but realistically, I'm going to try to do two this year because I'll start reading the book and I'll love it.
Two
and
books
then,
a year?
Yeah.
Well, that's a big gulp.
I mean, well, you got to make it realistic. I want to do one a quarter, but.
Some people read like 100 books a year or 30 books a year.
Like Barack Obama. Did you see his list? These are the books that I read in 2019. Do you do anything else but read?
Well, yeah. I mean, a lot of people who are retired or, you know, they have a little more time.
Oh, that's right. He is
retired. I don't
retired.
Know. I binge watch. Do that instead.
Binge watch? Is TV. That on your list of resolutions?
Yeah.
Yes. I'm going to try to have more patience. I know it's kind of general, but I'm going to wait a beat before I respond.
Positive.
In 2020.
Yeah. That's me too. Patience and positivity.
You don't seem all that impatient, Pete.
I can be, Dave. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Thanks for the warning.
You're going to miss me next week when Surratt's here. It's like, thank God Bob's here. Wow. Ann, you're on WGN. What's the day that we blow our New Year's resolutions?
January 12th.
That is absolutely correct.
Woo! Thank you.
Hold on. Let me get your applause. Here it is. Congratulations. Nice. And hold on. We're going to set you up with a family four-pack to the Lake Home and Cabin Show January 10th through the 12th. Thank you, Ann.
Okay. Uh-huh. Thanks, Pete.
So a week from Sunday is when 80% of us will blow our resolutions.
Wow.
That's terrible.
Amazing. Why?
It only takes 10
days. Why is it them?
That's what it just says. Because there's...
It's just because.
It's because... the resolutions are unrealistic. We set unrealistic expectations. Like a guy like me that can't get through an entire book, one book a quarter, that's not going to happen.
Yeah,
but I'm going to try it.
I heard Don Kleppen talking about he's going to dry out in January. So.
Dry January.
Dry January.
He's one of three guys, one of four guys in my life that I know that doesn't drink in January. Yeah.
And then what happens?
And then they binge drink in February. See, it doesn't work that way.
No.
You got to just taper it off.
Everything in moderation.
Don't drink during the week in January. How's that? Yeah.
Do it slowly.
I don't understand. But Kleppen, that's going to be tough for him.
Yeah.
Ooh, boy.
I'm gonna text him in a couple days.
He
see
has
how he's
no
doing.
Idea what he's in for. He first said, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go out on January 2nd. I'm going to start on the 3rd, and I'll end on February 3rd. Well, that's not dry January. You can't do that.
Should I look in Traffic Central to see if he left any bottles of anything in here?
Right.
He's storing stuff.
That reminds me, I need to get the Cheetos out of our house because I'm not eating Cheetos in 2020.
Well, what about Charlie? Can't he eat Cheetos?
Well, if I'm not doing it, he's not doing it.
Oh, come on.
And that's another thing. We had a dietitian on the air last week, Dawn Jackson Blattner. Get the crap out of your house. The garbage, like the brownies and the cookies and the Christmas stuff.
That's the best thing I did last year. I don't buy that stuff anymore.
Yep.
So I don't, I've craved it, but I don't have it, so I don't eat it. It's the best move I've ever made.
Bring it into work. Everybody will eat it. You'll feel good about yourself.
See all the boxes
Speaking
of candy
of
and news?
Chocolate this morning.
Is there tons of chocolate in the newsroom?
There's always candy in there.
That way I don't have to eat it at home.
Yeah, you guys always have candy in the newsroom. There's always something.
It's Roger Badish.
Really?
Yes. Always brings the candy.
Donuts, candy, the whole deal. You can't have that in front of you. How do you eat candy and then go on the air and read a newscast?
I actually watch other people eat candy and giggle. Knowing that I'm not eating it.
Are you eating the candy while you're in the newsroom? Steve?
No, I'm not. No.
Okay.
No.
Will you eat after your newscast?
No. I'm not going to eat any of this candy.
Good for you.
But it's here for everybody else if you want it.
Look at that.
Yep.
Maybe that's your New Year's resolution. No candy in 2020.
I'm not going to say that because I think I know I'll collapse at some point. But not today. Not today.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Steve. I ate it.
Mary can eat anything. That's what drives me
can't.
Nuts.
But I am going to go running this afternoon. It's going to be a nice day.
That's another thing. In the entire month of January, I'm going to try to exercise 6 days out of seven, just in January, to jumpstart my year.
Yeah, we'll be calling you January 12th.
That's when most people fall off the wagon. Thanks for your support, guys. Appreciate it. Good stuff. The news is coming up top of the hour from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom at 720.
WGN. He is an expert on the pot now, John Williams, who came on yesterday with me. Thank you for coming on, by the way.
I spent a lot of time. Yeah, my pleasure, Pete. You were doing the morning show yesterday, too. And since one of the pot shops opened near my house, I got up early and ran over there. And
the pot shops.
Called in live. Mm-hmm. And that place was busy all day long, as you might imagine.
Right.
In fact, a couple of the proprietors are going to join us from some of the pot shops this morning to tell us how they did yesterday. I'm telling you, the guy in my neighborhood, they figured they were going to make 1.3 million
in one day.
And it was a big day. It was like their day after Thanksgiving.
Sure.
It was their big shopping day, right? But if you're one of those neighborhoods that said, you know, we're not going to have pot in our neighborhood, maybe you're rethinking that right now.
Right. I mean, hundreds of people there in Wrigleyville yesterday. What are they going to do afterwards? They're going to go get something to eat, walk around.
I know. Nuts on Clark is right there.
Yep.
By the way, I'm glad you had Dean on, as you guys always do, but I thought he and Anna Balaval were terrific on New Year's Eve.
Nice.
And I know that everybody loves to watch and hate watch Channel 7's coverage, but at midnight, when they went to like, 3, 2, 1, Happy New Year, Channel 7 just sort of stood around and looked drunk, you know, and they were waiting
for that awkward moment,
because that's the thing. Channel 9 showed the river with the fireworks going off. It was fantastic.
Yeah, I was watching that too.
Oh my gosh.
I was really sorry I wasn't downtown.
Dave, I had the very same feeling. I thought, what am I doing here? I live near Wrigley. I could have buzzed. I did not know that it was going to be that spectacular.
Yeah.
I mean,
they didn't get the word out enough.
I don't think they did, because we're all used to the fireworks going off over the lake. But what they did was for the mile-long corridor along the river. So, like, these rockets were bursting into buildings.
Right.
It was unbelievable. And then, you know, it was coordinated with the, they played the Blackhawks and the White Sox and the Cubs, all the pro sports teams. They'd play their music and choreograph the fireworks to that. Mm-hmm. It was just awesome.
What?
And Channel 9
You're
showed,
kidding.
And Channel 9 showed it perfectly. So I'm going back and forth because we were watching 7 at midnight.
Okay.
And we go, all right, well, this is stupid. We knew it was going to be, but, like, has anybody else got anything else? We clicked over to Dean and Anna, and then they go to the fireworks. And I'm like, that's the star of the show. Show these fireworks.
Right, right. Gian Greco dressed in drag.
Yeah.
Did you happen to, was that at midnight? Why did that come out?
I don't know why. I am embracing my inner boomer here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a big fan of the drunk news anchors at midnight on New Year's Eve. Like CNN, that's a big part of their brand.
Oh, they're hammered. Yeah.
Don Lemon gets a tattoo.
No, he did not. He got a tat at midnight?
He revealed it before midnight.
Oh, boy.
To Brooke Baldwin, and she's like, oh, my God, what does it say? Which I think it says hashtag 2020 Lemon.
I don't want to see my news anchor with a bear tattoo on national TV.
Yeah,
I don't want to see that. If you want to get a tat, good for you. I just don't want to see your body on national TV.
I just keep thinking, if I'm North Korea, I'm definitely invading on New Year's Eve, because American media is drunk and not paying attention. They're just going, hey, Jägermeister, what's that?
Oh, I loved Jägermeister back in the day. So you have some pot shop owners coming in today or on the show.
That's affirmative. I will also just share with you a little bit about what Rod Blagojevich is saying and what are his chances of getting his sentence commuted.
How long is that going to take? You'd think we'd have an answer by now.
Well, it's up to the president. Whenever he wants to do it, he can just say, you're out.
Okay.
And he hasn't done that yet. But Blago wrote a piece essentially to the president in Newsmax yesterday saying what a raw deal Donald Trump is getting. And Donald Trump's going to see that. And
he's going to say, we got to let that guy out.
He's cooked enough.
He knows how to play people.
Oh, totally, totally. Both of them do. So just what is it that Blago is doing to get himself out?
Love it.
Lots more to cover, including the best movie I saw of the year. I saw last night.
Ooh.
You will be glad you heard the title of this movie after the news.
Damn, you got some good TV.
Serving the great Midwest from Chicago.